much about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
In here.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
In here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! Good sheep.
Mmm, delicious.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
What if we rape Kevin?
What stuff did you do in Slither?
Leave it be, I say. But you, always asking questions. So many pointless questions.
And now...
This is supposed to play something now. Wait a sec, because I'm going to make this work. This is the newest song, okay, with Dolly and Ricky Van Shelton. Let's see if this works or not. There it is. Let's try it now, because I really like this song. Oh, yeah.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
That's good music.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, how long have you been in the building, you reckon?
20 seconds?
Yeah. How's that going?
I think that's stretching it.
Maybe.
Pretty impressive.
It's a little rough in that
pretty goddamn impressive.
In that I came in and did trip over a bunch of wires.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go down.
Yeah.
Oh! That's how I would have started my day. Hey, 1-800-520-1067. Monday means a new prize for you to get on the air. For Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew, pick up the phone, give us a call. Toll free, we'll get to you in a minute. I was debating with Michael right before the song ended that, you know, I love death. This is Bean speaking, and I love death. And oftentimes I'll bring you a death corner just to kind of get the day started off on the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a death's corner today that's so sad, I don't even know if I can do it.
Well,
and Mike says I should, though. But
no,
Mike says
that's not what I said.
You get bummed out?
You said, I think this might be too sad for even me. And I said, I don't believe you.
Right. Well, that's for you,
that's
right.
That's very different
but
than
for
you
our
should
audience,
do it.
You know, yeah. Nobody wants to be bummed out.
What if you're 90 and your wife is 89 and you have a home elevator because you're elderly and have trouble walking? And your home elevator gets stuck between the first and second floor of your house.
Right.
And it's 100 degrees outside.
Oh.
Right.
And you're dead for 4 days before anyone finds you. What about that?
Both of them?
Yes.
Wow.
And how'd you like to be the how'd you like to be the one that dies second?
They were both on the elevator?
They were in the elevator going up and it got stuck.
Oh, man.
And they had a phone jack in there, but no phone. And that was, I guess, on
good.
Them. I mean, because that's the laws. You have to have a way to contact out for this specific reason. And, you know, neighbors noticed the trash didn't go up and the newspapers were piling up. And they went and broke down the door and there they were.
Together that's in each other's arms.
Yes, literally.
See, there you go.
But they didn't die at the exact same time.
How do you
time?
Know? Maybe they did. Let's put a positive spin on it. They said, you know what? I'm tired of waiting. You ready to go? Yep, let's go.
I have to say, sad, but not even close to as sad as I would have thought. To tug on Bean's heartstrings.
Really?
Well, he doesn't have any.
Well, I do, and I think I've demonstrated it here because that seems like a terrible way to go. Dying of heat seems like a terrible way to go.
I think so, too.
And the panic, although I guess, you know, over the course of several days, I guess you go through all those stages of being, you know, panic is one of them, but at some point you do accept, hey, nobody's coming for us, we're going to die. But, the bright side is at least you're together.
Sure.
At least you don't have to go on without your wife or your husband of 60 years. You know, you don't have to worry about that. But it's still a bad way to go, right?
Yeah.
Depends. Maybe they hated each other. Honestly.
Well, they were married for more than 60
right?
years, and they were riding an elevator together.
Doesn't mean they didn't hate each other.
You're just trying to think of anything.
I'm trying to think of something positive. And
well, they hated each other and died together on an elevator.
They needed the elevator.
Tell me what the positive is of being stuck in an elevator and dying of heat exhaustion with somebody that you hate. Tell me where the silver lining is in that.
They
analysis.
Die first, and you go, ha ha. That's it.
Okay.
So you think when the one died, it was the happiest day ever for the other one because he or she finally got to outlive the bitch.
And now then they could die happy.
Now I've got to hold on forever because she's gone. Or he's gone.
This place is mine.
That guy was an a-hole.
And I can do anything I want in this elevator.
Right.
And he or she won't be there to stop
Watch
me.
Watch this. I'm going to kick him.
This whole elevator is mine.
You don't know, man. You don't
All
know.
Right.
I'm just saying you don't know.
Let's go with that.
I just, it struck me as not a good way to go, and I was not pleased to hear the news.
Don't let death get you down. Well, people die all the time.
I know.
Just like that.
I know.
Why, you could wake up dead tomorrow.
Well, maybe so. Easy, all right. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin DeBean's What to Do, Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What to do? What to do? What to do?
What to do, nephew?
So only what to do.
What to do, nephew?
All right, how about this? A pair of passes for the advanced screening of Dinner for Schmucks, which is happening at the Arclight in Hollywood on July the 29th. It's in theaters the following day. That's the Steve Carell, Paul Rudd movie, don't you know? And that's what you get for being on the air with us for Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Why don't we start with Alex, who's calling to panic us all on line two. Mm-hmm. Alex, welcome to the show. What It Do?
Hello, Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Someone's on the line.
Yeah.
Okay, hello.
Hey,
there
Hi, you
Alex.
Are.
Hi. Well, I'm calling about regarding this the sighting that happened over China.
Hey!
Regarding a UFO? Mm-hmm. There was air traffic control that pretty much showed an image, which is almost 100% clear that there was an aircraft flying over the airport, I guess, in China.
Right.
Well, after watching this movie called The Fourth Time, which is based on a true story about aliens and abductions and I guess things that gone on through the government, they're trying to avoid. It came out all over the news, and it's on the line.
Right.
It's one of the most popular things that they're showing on the internet.
Right.
Right.
I think the government is pretty much, again, trying to go ahead and hide it and keep it away from pretty much the Americans, since we're the ones that like to investigate things a lot more. There's something that I believe is going to happen, but they don't want us to know.
Ooh.
Because they're saying that, oh, it's just another hoax. How can it be a hoax if it's on the news? You got media involved. You got people with camcorders filming this. I mean,
so what do you think the underlying story is? They're trying to hide what from us?
I think they're just trying to hide again what they've been hiding forever, that there is life on other planets. There is aircraft from
outer space. And who's the they this time? You think it's the Chinese government that's trying to stop anyone from investigating? Is that what your point is?
No. The American government, the American media advertised it, but the U.S. government is trying to go ahead and hide it from us, the Americans. China brought it out, and if you go online, go under unidentified flying object. This happened, I think, just last week. And the
happened twice last week, right.
Yes,
but, I mean, I don't see any difference between this and thousands of other things that folks see in the sky that get reported and investigated, and they're determined to be, we don't know why, or there's some natural cause, or it's some...
I understand, but if you actually look at this image, I mean, you could tell a lot more. And just from going online, if you look at this image, it's almost 100% clear it's more of an aircraft than just any kind of maybe American firefighter or any other country.
Gotcha.
Aircraft.
All right.
I mean, it's just too much.
I am out of patience for you, but thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
Although nobody wants that to be true more than Bean.
Yeah, I love the UFOs, yeah. and I've seen the video, and it is impressive, but the very low on the list of likely possibilities is an outer space invasion. There are about a million things that it is before it's that.
Well, that's my problem with people who think it's UFO equals alien aircraft. UFO
right,
can
exactly.
be an unidentified flying object. It just means you don't know what it is.
Right.
And then you don't have to take the leap of, this is an alien in a spaceship and they're coming to get us.
I very much want it to be true.
Because Bean wants to be probed.
I don't want to be probed. That's the last thing I want to have happen. Although I might rather be probed by aliens than die at 90 in an elevator. But I just want them to abduct Alex. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try Christopher, line one, joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Christopher. Thanks for calling. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Last night, in two different concepts and used in context, I heard a couple of Bean's phrases.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Tell me about it. Awesome with awesome sauce.
No one said that.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you. It was true. And on top of it, it was full of wind.
No one said. You're crazy. No one said those two things.
Wait, were you at my house last night?
No, it actually happened. We went to go see the Predators movie.
Right.
It was with a bunch of friends of ours. And we were sitting at a table just goofing off and talking a bunch of junk all over the place. And those two phrases were used. And... usually I say the stupid stuff,
yeah,
but
right.
I have to sit there in awe.
It is possible that there were Kevin and Bean fans where
no.
you were.
No.
They both haven't listened to K-Rock since high school. And I inquired about it, but they were like, no, we didn't know that.
So you asked them about it. They said they didn't listen. They just happened to say those two things on their own?
Yeah.
Chances against that are astronomical.
I'm worried.
You're worried about what?
He's worried that anything I might say might catch on. That's his
fear. Yeah, it's not going to. That isn't going to happen. What, were you drinking?
No. Right. I wish I was. That would have made more sense.
Shrooms?
Nothing.
Acid?
Nope.
Horse tranquilizers?
Oh, I hope, but nope.
Thanks for the call, Christopher. One more. Let's try John. He's on line 3. Hey, John. Welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What it do?
What it do, y'all? Hey, the other day you guys were messing with Bean real hard, and I'm like, I'm feeling sorry for him. But after that death story this morning, just give it to him, man. Oh, my God.
That's what I say.
I'm trying to start my week off and in a good mood, and he just brought the whole thing down.
Here's the thing about us.
What about Kevin seeing the bright side that they probably hated each other? What about that?
I'm just trying to turn and make any kind of positive out of it. But here's the thing that you need to know about Bean.
Said, hey, you were struggling trying to find something positive out of it, but wow, man.
Here's the thing you need to know about Bean. He really, 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 really loves death. And he's not an upper, that man being. He's not an upper. He's not an
The Summer of Death.
All right, what can we do for you?
All right, hey, the other day I was at the Laugh Factory, and Bob Saget came on impromptu. He wasn't on the bill, you know? I mean, obviously he went to the owner and said, hey, let me do 20 minutes, you know, for the love, you know? I mean, just for the love of being up there, you know, making people laugh. And the guy's hilarious, but there was a heckler in the audience. You know, thinking, oh, you know, this is Bob Saget, you know, the guy from Full House.
Sure.
And Bob Saget tore this guy a new, he just tore him up.
Yeah.
You know?
It always cracks me up when you go to a comedy show and somebody in the audience thinks they're going to be able to outdo the comedian.
Outwit them.
Who,
really?
By the way, is on stage, you know, their whole lives, and they
as
handle hecklers
right.
all the time as a professional. Yeah, right. This comes up a lot of times.
And these people are usually drunk, so they're not really on their game either.
Hey, Bob is filthy too, man.
Yes.
Oh, he is. And by the way, John, at this point, anyone who would be interested enough to go to a comedy club, I'm surprised they wouldn't know that Bob Saget is a great comedian and has been doing
for
it for years. I mean, let's face it.
Hilarious. I mean,
anyone who thinks he's the guy from Full House just hasn't been paying attention the last few years because he's been, he's got a great act. So, all right, that's funny story, man. Hope you don't die in an elevator. Thanks for the call.
Oh, you hope he does. Let's be honest. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What's happening?
Let's talk about tattoos you regret.
Oh, best.
A lot of people get tattoos and then later they go, wow, what was I thinking on that one? We're going to talk to a listener who actually wants to get a tattoo of Ralph's face.
Oh no.
We said all of those things. And Ralph.
And by the way, so did Ralph.
Ralph said, oh no, I need to talk him out of it. So we're going to talk to him today and see if we can get that to not happen. That's a bad
idea. I understand
idea.
That it is difficult to put yourself in the mindset of how will I feel about this choice 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road. And as exciting as it may be to be a Ralph Garman fan in 2010, in 2040, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, no kidding. We have Mary Lynn Rice Cub on the program today.
Yeah.
Love her.
Talking about her one-woman show.
Mm-hmm. TV's Chloe.
We have the Taliban training monkeys to fight.
Hmm.
That's a new force. That's something no one would see. Except for when a monkey hands the guy his boarding pass and go, wait a minute, something suspicious here. Are they training monkeys to attack? That's up.
I believe they are.
Yeah. TMZ, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin.
Okay.
Find out all the celeb news over the weekend. People who really we are more comfortable having sex with their clothes on, with at least some clothes on. The numbers are much higher than you would think.
Huh, that's odd.
Yeah.
I haven't really run into that.
I know you don't.
I keep so the Darth Vader mask on, but I think that's pretty normal.
Sure. And also Heat Watch 2010, as panic has set in because it got a little warm. So we'll get to all that coming up on this morning's show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
So glad that Ralph Garman is here. There's no way to find out what's going on in show business, and except for that feature on this show. So all weekend long, I've been sitting there going, what now? What's going on? So please, fill me in, Ralph. What's happening?
I don't know if I... Hello? Hello?
What, that's
Hello? There we are. Hello? Huh. This thing on? Hello? Check one. Hello?
It's just much softer than usual.
Two.
It's because I've been spending shifts over on the wave.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know if I appreciate Bean's sarcasm, I was trying to say.
Huh. Not at all.
Considering Bean is, he has a coaxial cable plugged directly into his cerebral cortex and just downloads the internet 24 hours a day.
He sees news as it happens, not a minute after.
So he's like, oh, I don't know where to find showbiz news. What's up? I don't know if I appreciate it.
I dumped the cable years ago. It's wireless now.
Oh, is it? You got Wi-Fi in your head?
That's right. I do.
Well, let's take a look, as we do every Monday morning, at the top 10 movies at the box office. Inception, as expected, made a little over $60 million in its debut weekend. A lot of buzz. A lot of people looking forward to seeing the new film by Christopher Nolan, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. And I don't think they were disappointed, because I know I wasn't. Everybody go?
I wasn't either. I went, and I can't wait to go again.
You have some questions, Kevin?
A few.
Yeah, I predicted as much.
Maybe I
said when Kevin goes
everything.
To this show, he will come out with lots of questions. But I hope everyone else enjoyed it.
Did they implant in your brain that you want to go again, or do you think that's you making your own decision?
Oh, see what he did there?
Think of that, stupid Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, what's his name again?
You heard me.
Despicable
we
me.
We did, and that's why we asked.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Because we know an actor with a similar name. We were trying to figure out if that's the one you're talking about.
I would like some water. Granola balls. Despicable Me was second at the box office, another $32.7 million. That thing's a monster hit. The Sorcerer's Apprentice didn't do as well as expected at its debut. Hair over $17 million, good enough to make it number three. Twilight Saga Eclipse was fourth, and Toy Story 3 was fifth. Grown Ups, sixth. The Last Airbender came in seventh. Can we finally just put M. Night Shyamalan's career in the grave and just nail the coffin shut? Now that he's made, I don't know, his seventh bomb in a row, can we just recognize that no one wants to see him make movies anymore?
Yeah.
Moratorium?
That is shocking. How much he gets to do.
I just saw the trailer for his next film, by the way.
He's probably got six or seven lined up, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Who does he know? Who's he blackmailing?
Predators is eighth. Night and Day, ninth. And The Karate Kid rounds out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. We finally have the complete cast list for the new Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
All right.
On VH1. It was announced this morning. Janice Dickinson, as I mentioned, she was the world's first supermodel, you know.
Really?
Really? How do you know that?
I passed her in an airport once, and she screamed it at me. She will tell anyone within earshot that she was the first supermodel.
Yeah.
Rachel Yucatel, Tiger Woods' most famous mistress.
That's a good get for them.
Checking in as well. Party of Five actor Jeremy London, I mentioned last week. Former teen idol Leif Garrett, I guess it is. Singer Keisha Cole's mother, Frankie Lanz.
What?
Wow.
Singer Keisha, or Keshia Cole's.
It's Keisha. I think it's Keisha.
Keisha Cole's mother, and her name is Frankie Lanz.
So it's not her, it's her mom.
She will be in the Celebrity Rehab cast.
I don't get that at all.
Visit her.
Okay.
Bean, you know, it's sort of connected family of Celebrities Rehab.
That's what they get to.
Oh, no, wait, it's called Celebrity Rehab.
Enough.
Yeah, it is. That's crazy.
The Hills' Jason Waller and Jason Davis.
As in Brandon Davis' older brother?
Is he a doughy bear, a greasy bear? Which bear is he?
Gummy bear, right?
He's gummy bear? He's gummy bear. Brandon's greasy bear,
greasy
right?
Bear.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So there you go. There's your cast for Celebrity Rehab. And VH1 premieres later this year, and we'll give you more updates as we get closer.
That Rachel Yucatel signing is a good one for them, because that will keep the tabloids interested in it.
Absolutely.
So they'll get a lot of press as a result of that. And it's funny, I've never heard that she had any kind of problem with drugs or alcohol, and I wonder if she's faking it just to get on the show.
Well, she may not have to, because just announced today, apparently Rachel Yucatel will be a member of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice.
What?
She'll be joining the cast of Celebrity Apprentice next season.
Okay.
And will become one of the people competing to be Donald's Celebrity Apprentice.
What is she doing first?
I think he's doing this first. She's doing the rehab first. But Donald has said that he offered her to her, and she thinks it would be a great idea.
He's just trying to bang her.
Yeah.
You know Donald.
You could do it a lot easier than putting her on a TV show.
Not that
by
hard
all
for
accounts.
Him.
Not that hard for anybody, by all accounts. Kellan Lutz likes everyone to know he's more than just a pretty boy.
Okay. Sure.
Twilight star says he's also an inventor.
An inventor?
Yes, Kevin.
Really?
He says he loves to make life easier by creating new inventions.
That's great.
His favorite, he says, is an omelet maker that has a toaster on one side and a bacon grill on the other. So you can have your omelet, your bacon, and your toast all in the same contraption. Thank you, Kellan Lutz. My life is easier.
What would we do without that?
I don't know.
He didn't do that.
He didn't do that? Oh, Spencer did?
I'm saying, like, where are we getting this contraption, Kellen?
I don't know. Maybe some late night infomercial.
Huh. The new Lutz Grill. Yeah, it sounds to me like he's making stuff up as well.
Is Mel Gibson leaving the country? That's what London's Daily Mail tabloid says.
Wouldn't you?
Mel is heading back to his native Australia by their accounts. Apparently, he is so serious about leaving the U.S. of A., he's already put several of his homes up on the market, including his Greenwich, Connecticut, and his Malibu homes. Greenwich home, according to this story, is already sold. Went for $24 million.
Wow.
And the Malibu house is put on the market for $15 million. So if you got a little extra cash, maybe you want to get Mel's place.
Doesn't he own the church in Malibu as well?
If you buy Mel's house, though, I would not dig up the rose garden. That's just what I was suggesting.
You know, the most shocking thing about those Mel Gibson tapes, besides the fact that he's lost it, is that last tape where he talked about how he had to sell stuff, including his Lakers box seats and paintings for money. Here's a guy. Didn't he make Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto and get the lion's share of the money for both films, which was hundreds of millions of dollars,
right?
He made
about $400 million on Passion. Apocalypto did not do nearly as well at the box office. So
but it was all his. Every penny they made was his, though, remember?
He made a little cash back on that one.
Yeah, that's shocking.
But apparently he sunk something like $15 million into Oksana's recording career.
Oh, no.
Produced her latest album and did a bunch of development
stuff.
Have we
heard any of her music?
We have not.
Ooh.
But, I mean, obviously that wouldn't put a dent into $400 million, but who knows what his spending habits are. So yeah. You never know. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Legendary guitarist Brian May of Queen. He is 63 years old today. Very talented Anthony Edwards, the actor from ER and Top Gun. He is 48. WBC heavyweight champion boxer Dr. Iron Fist Vitali Klitschko celebrates 39th birthday. And actor Jared Padalecki celebrates his 28th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in minutes. I'm glad that a little behind the scenes here for Kevin and Bean Show fans. For years now, we've been bugging Ralph that we should broadcast from Comic-Con. He's like, oh, no, you don't want to go down there. There's geeks down there, nerds down there. You don't have anything to do with that. You don't want to get dirtied up with those people. Finally, we've talked him into it, and we're going to be there this week at Comic-Con. We're going to be broadcasting live in San Diego, and we're inviting you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, if you're also attending, to come on by and see the show live if you'd care to.
And we have a bunch of guests on Friday especially. We have Kevin Smith. We have Michael C. Hall, an interview with the Ralph gets to do with him a little bit earlier in the day.
Great.
We have G4's Adam Sessler. We have Seth Green. We have Seth Rogen. We have Will Ferrell.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a crazy stacked full program on Friday.
Giant show.
And we're going to be doing it live from San Diego.
Nope.
So that, what?
No.
Roland?
Yes, it's Roland, and I forbid you to be at Comic-Con.
What? Why do you care?
Because I've been to Comic-Con every year since its inception.
Yeah.
And every year I go there, and it's a wonderful time for me and my friends to get together and talk about things that really matter.
Right.
And then there's people like you who will say, oh, you are geeks. You people are geeks. And now all of a sudden, because, you know, it's hip and cool, because you're hipster douchebags, you decide to pack up your bags and do your little pony show from Comic-Con, and I say nay.
But I don't understand, because you're always complaining to us that you'd like to see us do more stuff with comics, and now here we are doing that.
Yes, but it's not genuine. It's
How
not
do you
real.
Know?
You don't really have a passion for anything that's going on at Comic-Con.
How
you're
do
just
you know?
Going on to get jump on the bandwagon. Oh, look at us. Aren't we cool? We're broadcasting from Comic-Con. I say nay.
Well, I say to you that we're going to some guy, Britt Reed's garage.
Yeah,
I say
guy.
We're going to do
oh,
that.
Some guy. Who is Britt Reed? I don't
He's
know.
He's the dude that owns the garage we're going to.
No, right. Wrong, sir.
He's one of the Pep Boys.
It's what? The secret identity of the Green Hornet.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
Well, that too.
Well, you know what? If you don't know simple things about the world of comic books, you cannot attend this. Oh, Christian Bale is Batman. Oh, wrong. Wrong. All right. Who played Batman in the 1943 Columbia serials then?
Well, who has any idea?
Wilson. That's correct. How about the 1949 serial?
Well, who cares?
Robert Lowry. See? There were other actors before who played Batman.
But we don't need to know that.
Just name me the name of the artist who drew Spider-Man originally.
Paul
That's
Lee.
That's what I thought. Paul Lee.
No, I don't know.
You have to not be at Comic-Con, is what
but
I'm saying.
We're going to be down there, and we're going to be interviewing people.
Well, can't you find your own convention to attend instead of polluting mine?
Dad, isn't there a bleached hair bed memory convention you can go to? Don't they have MumbleCon 2010 you can attend?
I have a hard time believing that our presence there with all of those other people is going to ruin your time.
How about Bink? Isn't there a death and cow convention somewhere in the country you can attend? Don't they have a convention for people who hate people? Alone Con?
Yeah, well.
Him standing by himself in a big convention center?
He would like that more.
I would go to that.
See, the thing is, people like you come down and you pollute the Comic-Con and it gets crowded and you can't get a hotel room and you can't move on the floor of the convention because you hipster douchebags have to be there saying, oh, look at me, I'm at the gas lamp.
Okay, whatever that is. But listen, Roland.
The gas lamp is the part of San Diego where the convention is held.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Hey, listen.
I hate you.
Isn't it because of the wide interest in movies like The Green Hornet now that more of these films are being made because the public has embraced them? I would think that's good news for you because it means more stuff that you like is out there in theaters.
No, what it means is the studios and the networks are coming down to our convention trying to get us to spend our dollars because they know we have a lot of expendable income because very few of us have families or girlfriends.
Or jobs, though.
We have lots of jobs.
Oh, all right.
You know that cell phone you're holding in your hand?
Yes.
One of us probably made it.
Oh, wow. Mm,
good point.
Really?
Except the Apple one.
Well,
because that antenna's all left up.
So you're not taking credit for that one, right?
Well, there was a free bumper. Screw you, Steve Jobs. You arrogant prick.
A lot of anger for Roland here today. Well, listen, we're almost out of time, but we want to invite you, Roland, if you're going to be down there, and it sounds like
of
you are.
Of course I'm going to be down there. What I don't want is you to be down there.
Well, we are going to be down there, and we're going to be next to Petco Park. We're going to be at 280 North 10th Avenue in San Diego on Friday morning. Please come by the show and we can break bread and shake hands and be nice to each other and have a good time.
How about if I break necks instead of bread?
I'd like to see that.
Oh, no. That's odd, like Donkey Kong.
One of the things I most look forward to every Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show is catching up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the entertainment news website of record. TMZ Television, check your local listings. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Good, good. It's great to talk to you. I keep waiting for, and I was wondering if they took Lindsay's passport away because I keep thinking how exciting it would be if she decided she couldn't bear going to jail tomorrow and tried to flee the country.
Funny thing is, that is not the most improbable scenario I've heard in the last week. I mean, she is, you know, one of the reasons it took so long to get a lawyer finally is because she just wasn't hearing what she wanted to hear, which is she wanted somebody to say, hey, I know I have a way that you can get out of jail.
Right.
And nobody credible was saying that to her. So, I mean, the interesting thing is Shapiro, who's a good lawyer, it's like, I'm not sure what exactly he's doing. It's like, as long as she complies with my request, I will represent her. But the request is she has to go to jail. And it's like, okay, well, the judge already said that. So I'm a little puzzled by the whole thing, but the bottom line is I can tell you for sure Judge Revelle is not going to back down tomorrow, and Lindsay is going to have to surrender.
So she is going to go to jail tomorrow?
She will go to jail. There's no.
She has to go to the courthouse first?
Yeah, the plan is she's going to go to the court, she's going to surrender, and she will be taken into custody. It looks like she's going to go to Linwood, and it looks like... Now, there's another thing that she could do. There's a thing called the Impact Program in L.A. County, which is like a rehab center and a jail combined. And she could, you know, that's an interesting possibility, because what it does is, rather than just sitting in jail, you could actually end up getting treatment, but she'd have to stay the full 90 days.
Oh, she won't do that.
You know, Dr. Drew has been saying, and I think a lot of people agree, that she doesn't need jail. What she needs is rehab, and that's why she's at least making the attempt to make it appear like she's taking that part of her problems seriously. But his suggestion was that she should have done this day one. Like, as soon as she realized she was going to jail, she should have gone in that day to make a more powerful statement.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dr. Drew is... You know, he's really, really great. But I have to tell you something. Based on what I know about Lindsay, and I know a fair amount about what's going on here, you can't just send her to rehab, because she did it. She's done it before, and it was a joke. She didn't feel she needed it. She drank when she was there. She was it was a total joke.
And I want to go to that rehab. You can drink it.
She was all over town in Utah when she was doing it. So the feeling among people who have been working on the case is you got to make her feel consequences first, and and they don't want her to be in jail to be punitive. They need her to find God in jail. They need her to literally realize, oh my God, I got to to deal with it. It may not work, but nobody thinks it's going to work if they just throw her in rehab. She does not think she has a problem.
You know what she's going to find in jail? Women. That's what.
Not the worst thing for Lindsay Lohan. Hey, speaking of that, I got one last question before we shift gears over to Mel, and that is, it seemed like Samantha Ronson was a super bad influence on her and that she had nothing but trouble when she was trying to date her. Now she's seeing her again. How is that improving things for Lindsay Lohan?
You know, I'm sorry for being so argumentative today, but I kind of see it the other way. I think Sam Ronson is way more stable than Lindsay Lohan. And I think in many ways, Sam Ronson was stabilizing, but they had a crazy relationship.
Yeah.
And part of it was just Lindsay was out of her mind.
Seemed like he was doing better without her.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, well, that's because she had a scram bracelet on, guys.
Huh.
I mean, that always kind of it interferes with your game when you have a scram bracelet and have to do drug testing.
Sure.
But, you know, but she was actually Sam Ronson. It's pretty, you know, in that world, pretty stable,
mm-hmm.
and she just couldn't take the craziness. But
yeah.
There's some weird codependency between the two of them going on.
What's your guess? I'm sure everyone in the world is looking for Mel Gibson. What's your guess as to where he is and what his next move is, Harvey?
He's local, and his next move is not his move, it's his lawyer's move. I mean, look, there's a sheriff's investigation going on right now. They are investigating him for three things, domestic violence, assault with a deadly weapon, and child endangerment. So that, you know, and at the same time, there's this big custody war going on. But the criminal thing is the, you know, is the thing that he really has to sit and wait and see what his lawyers do. And, you know, their position is that, A, he didn't hit her. B, she's trying to extort money. She was trying to extort money from him. And C, the tapes were altered. Now, her side is saying absolutely not. They're saying that they have, you know, they have physical evidence that they're saying shows that Mel did it.
Right.
And they're also, you know, obviously the tapes, you know, the tapes, there is more to this than just the tape. I will tell you that. And people made the mistake with Rodney King of thinking, oh, the whole story is in the tape. It's not always. And there's actually more to this story. But both sides have a lot of ammo. And the question is, ultimately, how's the DA going to come down?
Hey, Harvey, you're a lawyer. Let us ask you this, because our understanding is they can't allow that tape in court because it was taped illegally.
There are exceptions to the, as a matter of fact, you're right, there's a law in California that both parties have to consent if there's a reasonable expectation of privacy. But there are exceptions to that. Now, both sides have really strong positions. Her side says, sure, her life was in danger, she absolutely had a right. His side says, there is no way in the world that this falls within an exception. If it does not fall within an exception, it's not admissible, and the person who taped it secretly could actually be prosecuted for a felony.
Dude. We're talking to Harvey Levin, by the way, from TMZ.com, discussing the Mel Gibson case right now. If there was any bright news for Mr. Gibson in the last few days, it's the statement that his ex-wife made, which
yeah.
I was really surprised. Why did she speak out and tell folks what she had to say, Harvey?
Well, I'll tell you, that is, you're so right. I mean, Robin Gibson is actually beloved in Hollywood. I mean, she is somebody that I mean, she does amazing charity work. She does stuff for Operation Smile. She raised like $71 million. So her voice is really powerful. And she feels, you know, we're the ones that got that and broke it. And she, I can tell you that she feels that, you know, she has to speak up about a relationship that lasted not a year, but 28 years and multiple children, and she never saw any of this. And I can tell you, she feels very strongly that whatever else she has to feel, she feels about Mel or what others do, he did not physically abuse during her relationship. It's important for two reasons. Number one, in the DA's office, there's a mantra that if a guy abuses one woman, he's going to abuse every woman he's with.
Right.
And that's why this statement is potentially powerful. The second reason it's powerful is that Mel Gibson, and when his legal troubles are all said and done, the issue is, what's he going to do in Hollywood? Her voice matters. And that's why she's such a secret weapon for him.
I think Mel Gibson needs to make a new movie, and I think it needs to star Lindsay Lohan, and then I think your head would explode. You'd be so happy.
would you see the movie?
Yes.
If he did a good movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Mel Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
I think I would. I'm one of those people, I know it's split, I know there are people who feel the other way, that I can separate somebody's personal situation with their professional one. I don't think I have to like somebody in order to think he is a talented performer.
My problem is that it's been so public who he, quote, really is, that it would be hard for me to watch a movie and have him get lost in it.
How do you explain R. Kelly?
That's a good question.
R. Kelly, and we talked about, I think, last week or the week before, Chris Brown back on stage to standing ovations, which no one thought would ever happen a year ago. I mean,
Hollywood has really short memories,
sure.
And people do. If somebody comes out with a good movie, a good song, it's unbelievable how, you know, I'll tell you this. If Michael Richards, if they did a new Seinfeld and Michael Richards were on it, there wouldn't be a boycott.
No, I think you're absolutely right. All right, you're doing the Lord's work out there at TMZ.com. Harvey, as always, a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for being on the Kevin Bean Show, sir.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Why did Miss Cleo get hypnotized last night? What's that story about? Have you been able to find out anything more about that?
She was at the fair.
Don't know.
And they were doing a hypnosis show.
Is she suddenly smart? Has anyone checked? Have we checked with her? See how she's doing now?
Change. I don't think that's what happened.
Here's what I know. The hypnosis at the fair is the best. That's where serious people go to who want to be hypnotized.
Here's all I know is I've got one thing in mind if I'm hypnotizing Miss Cleo. That's the only thing I know. All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes. First, though, we want to dip into the email bag. We got a lot of... Look, we apologize. We do get a lot of email. It is not possible to respond to all of you. We do try, and we do thank you for your comments on the show, and we love to hear what you have to say. This one, for instance, an amazing story. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was listening to your podcast segment. You were talking about your friend's dog being run over and being fine. That happened to my friend Marty. His wife ran over his dog. His dog is in better shape now than before he got run over because it realigned his spine, and he's got better motion now than he did with no further injury. It's unbelievable, right? This reminded me of a story that happened to a friend of mine. When he was a kid, his dad backed over his 2-year-old little sister's chest in the driveway. They, of course, rushed her to the hospital and x-rayed her. She only had broken a rib, but moreover, because of that x-ray, they found a huge tumor in her chest that they had no idea was there. They removed the tumor. When they biopsied it, the doctor said it was mere days away from reaching an inoperable stage. Up till that point, she had showed no signs of illness, though there had been no reason to have her x-rayed at all. So basically, her dad running her over saved her life.
Wow.
Can you imagine the emotional roller coaster you would go through from running over your child and then finding out that you actually saved her life? Sincerely, Courtney. What an unbelievable story that is. Thank you for saying that.
It's crazy. This one is about Ryan's roses. We did a thing where we were informing you that Ryan's Roses is completely fake, only 100%.
Right.
Because it's illegal. You can't do it, according to FCC law. And there's a company that they hire actors and they have a script. It's just 100% not real. And we took down word for word the transcripts of a Ryan break, and we started doing the Kevin and Bean players, and we actually read it. And John writes, funniest thing I've heard in a long time, reading of Seacrest show. More of this, please. I don't know that we have the patience for that, but it was spectacular.
I don't know that I could come in and do a show every day where there was a script that you had to read, by the way. Doesn't seem like that'd be very much fun,
no.
Does it?
Yeah, they have actors and the whole thing, and you could look it up, War of the Roses, I think, on Wikipedia or something like that, and it's a company, and they provide it, and it's done in every city.
Okay.
It's all fake.
Malibu Cat writes in, Kevin and Bean, you guys talk about window lickers on your show from time to time. You have to check out ABC's Wife Swap episode of last week with the family who are convinced that the world is going to end on December 21st, 2012. At the beginning of the program where they're showing the family and explaining the evidence of why the Mayan calendar is right, the overweight wife says to the youngest son, Ian, stop licking the window. I fell over laughing because I had never seen an actual real window licker before, and there he was on TV. You have to get this video and put it up on the website. These people are really nuts. No wonder the kid licks windows.
That's awesome.
Remember, we found that out years ago when we saw a list of euphemisms for the mentally retarded. What was acceptable, what was not acceptable, and we'd never heard of window licker before.
Right. Retard was the out-of-fashion word, and so
exactly.
here are some other suggestions. And they put window licker, and they were like, that's the funniest thing we've ever seen.
So apparently they do lick windows, so that's good.
Wow. This one in response to things that you've never done. You're old enough. It seems like everyone else your age has done it, but you haven't. The first person is Shelley. I'm 41. I've never been drunk.
Wow.
I owned a coffee kiosk for 8 years. Never drank coffee. didn't have sex till I was 36.
Wow.
None of this for religious reasons.
Oh, my gosh. Just loser.
Really? I own a coffee kiosk and never
sipped it once?
At least try it to make sure it's good, right, before you sell it.
Jennifer says, I'm 34, lived in Southern California all my life, and never been to Magic Mountain. And finally, Olivia writes, the subject line, no weed ever, 31 years old. And then she writes, oops, I'm 30. Damn, maybe I'm a stoner.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Ed writes in, based on Ralph's description of Inception on the movie beat last week, I want to go see it, but I'm worried it might be hard to follow. Is it possible to arrange a Kevin and Bean screening where Kevin is mic'd during the movie so he can comment and explain to the rest of us what is happening as it goes along?
I'd be more than happy
Ed.
To.
Sounds like a good idea.
I'm more than happy to.
And finally, this one's a little bit unusual because I got to read a couple of them. But our friend Doto, who you have heard on the show for many, many years, is the international man of mystery. He's extremely elusive, extremely tough to pin down. Every time we talk to him, he seems to be in some other foreign country doing things we have no idea what.
His dad has money and a reason to travel, so he could end up in, who knows, Hong Kong one weekend, and then the next weekend he's here, and then we can't keep track of him. It's really bizarre.
And he's so tough to get a hold of. And even when you've got him in an email thread where you've got him in a place where he's willing to respond to you, it seems difficult to nail down a simple question with Doto because his mind is all over the place.
Window licker.
So here's what happened is after the 4th of July weekend. So last week I got this email from Doe, and this is when he reaches out to us. I know that's the time to try to corral him and get him on the program. Hey, Bean, how's your 4th? 2 years ago in church, I said to the pastor, there's a possibility that I'll kill a couple members. I was only kidding, but they took it very serious. I was joking around Doe. All right. Now that sounds like an alarming email, but that's the kind of thing that Doe sends all the time. Like out of the blue. We haven't heard from the guy in like 2 months.
Yeah. It's like he's continuing a conversation that has been already started for 45 minutes.
Yeah. He does.
Who starts with how's your 4th and then moves on to I joked that I'd kill some people in church.
I don't
right?
know.
So I know I've got a laser-focused Doto on what it is we want, which is to get him on the show. So I write back, Do, good to hear from you. We are eager to catch up. When can we get you on the telephone?
Pretty straightforward,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He writes back, B, I was only joking and messing would never do anything violent. I'm a fearful man. Need a woman. Went out with Japanese lady. Do. Okay. Perhaps not as responsive as I might have liked.
You know what,
to the question.
I was thinking about that. Maybe he was afraid that was the part that you wanted to ask him about.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, that could be.
Went out with Japanese lady. Do. All right. No? So again, I'm laser focused. I write back. Do, we really want to talk to you on the air this week. What do you say? He writes back. My trip was cool. Too much buffet. Dope. So
too
I don't know what to tell you.
Buffet.
we'll continue to work on that and get an update from Doe as soon as we can.
These you learn to love again. It sounds like these times.
I think you guys just improved that song.
Thank you.
Wouldn't be hard.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:54.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. Rise Against, On the Way, Cage, The Elephant, Smashing Pumpkins, Paramore, and more. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And as expected, Inception was number one by far this weekend, making just a little bit over $60 million in box office receipts. Big, big money. Big critical acclaim.
Big money, you bet.
Everybody's happy. I want to see a sequel.
See a sequel?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
I still have to go back to this one and figure out what happened.
I don't understand Leonardo DiCaprio, what he's doing with the top.
That Christopher Nolan, he's vaulted himself into the A-list, hasn't he?
Well, he's already been there with the Batman films, but he continues to be a guy who can combine what the audience likes with what the critics like, and
he's knocking him out of the park.
That's Steven Soderbergh for a while had that unique title, and then he's slipped a bit since box office wise. But good to see good work. Despicable Me was second at the box office with $32.7 million. Sorcerer's Apprentice was third. Twilight Saga Eclipse was fourth. Toy Story 3, Grown Ups, Last Airbender, Predators. Night and Day, The Karate Kid, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. This movie won't be in the theaters anywhere, or maybe it will, because it seems to be taking off enormously. I don't know if you've seen the trailer yet. We've got it posted up on the Kevin and Bean website for Sharktopus.
Yes.
It's going to be airing on the Sci-Fi Channel this fall. But I was talking to the director, Declan O'Brien, over the weekend, and apparently the trailer has become the second most watched video clip on the internet.
All right.
Yeah. It's everywhere. Everywhere.
A monster hit, and no pun intended.
All right.
Here's a little taste of the theme song, by the way, of Sharktopus by the Cheetah Whores.
The Cheetah Whores?
Cheetah Whores. Cheetah Whores. Mm. Did Omar not send that into you there, Psycho Mike?
He did. I just went to another file.
You got a look on your face.
Ready?
There's a creep show creature with a double feature. A freak ass beast wants bless you beast. They're twisted fish. It suffers as a side dish. When you see that frenzy feeding, you will be the next bleeding. Sharktopus won't be kept at bay. And you can never, ever, ever get away. Come on over, don't you? Screaming child grown up. Get your baby without a doubt.
The
virus won't be kept at bay, and you can never, never get away.
That song's a little wordy.
How dare you?
I'm just
Two minute words. I want some pictures in it.
Now, that's your director's kids' band, as I understand, right, Ralph?
No, it is Sharktopus, I think, has Declan O'Brien's niece in that band. There's some familial connection, but it's not... He's not the parents of the show.
The trailer is awesome, by the way.
Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because just announced the rumor, talking to Roger Corman, who was the producer and mind, legendary producer Roger Corman, was the mind behind Sharktopus, that they're already in talks, perhaps, with a sequel, Dino Shark versus Sharktopus.
Yes.
The two giant sharks of sci-fi's monster stable may be facing each other sometime later in the year, so... It's very exciting.
Damn you, shark to giant.
You have to go to KevinMeade.com and see this trailer if you've not yet. The scene at the end of the trailer where the woman is bungee jumping over the ocean.
He's bungee jumping, yes.
And the sharktopus jumps up and just pulls her off of the rope and swims away. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Spoiler alert.
It's in the trailer.
But if you haven't seen the trailer yet, then that's one of the fun parts to see in the trailer.
It's still visually amazing. I think
it is awesome.
It is. You won't believe it.
They should put this one in the theaters, not played on sci-fi.
So,
Ralph, do you survive? Or would you be spoiling it if you tell me whether your character survives this show?
You want to know everything?
What? You want to just read the script?
Ralph, do you have it?
Where is the joy of just going and this
what
is interesting?
What are you doing?
It's interesting.
Kevin learned how to say DiCaprio over the weekend. He just wants to say it as many times as possible today.
No. This is interesting. Glee news. Filipino teenage sensation Charisse.
Hey!
Is going to be added to the cast of Glee next season. Are you familiar with the Charisse story, by the way?
No. I am not.
This girl used to be living in the slums of the Philippines, in Manila, and her mother started to enter in singing competitions when she was like 4, 5, and 6 years old, and she was so good she would win these competitions and win a small amount of money, but it kept her family going for weeks on end with these prizes that she had won. So she kept singing and singing and singing, and now I think Ellen DeGeneres initially discovered her. Put her on her show. Oprah Winfrey put her on her show. And now she's like a multi-million dollar smash pop star out of
And how old is she now?
She's 18 now. Yeah. She's joined the cast of Glee. And in order to make sure she looks good, she is undergoing some Botox procedures and anti-aging procedures so that she can look fresh on camera, she says.
What?
Wait, isn't everybody else on that show playing high schoolers like 25 or 30?
Yes, yeah.
She's really 18.
And she's Charisse Filipino.
Underwent
they always look young.
A 30-minute Thermage skin-tightening procedure and Botox to make her naturally round face more narrow, says her cosmetic surgeon.
That's weird.
So she's going to be on Glee. How cheesed off, by the way, is Jenna Ushkowitz, the girl who plays the Asian girl on that show?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, there There are four Asian characters on television. We need two of them on Glee. Can I stand out a little bit, please?
Yeah.
So, Charisse is going to be joining.
You know why I know Kevin and Bean are gay?
Why?
Because they like Glee.
Ooh. Oh, come on. With doo-doo on it. And the cast of the Jersey Shore is on strike.
What? I thought they already wrapped.
They did wrap season two, but they were supposed to start shooting scenes for season three this week.
Oh.
And Ronnie, Sammy, Paulie D, Vinny, and the Situation, and Snooki, they are all scheduled to start production on the third season tomorrow, but they are holding out for more cash. Now, here's the thing. They already earn about $10,000 each per episode. But they are on strike saying they will not shoot another frame of film until they start getting more money, and they said they can make more money by making appearances at clubs and nightclubs and bars.
For a little while.
Throughout this summer than they would if they were to film a third season. So they want to be compensated commensurately.
Who did we have on that told us that not just anyone could do this? It's got
to
be them.
It was Vinny and Pauly D.
It has to be them.
They didn't fall in love with the show. They fell in love with us.
Right.
Snooki said that too.
And Snooki. They're right. We love the Snooki.
Sure.
We did it all for the Snooki.
Yeah.
The Snooki.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brian May of Queen is 63 years old today. Actor Anthony Edwards is 48. Vitaly Klitschko, Dr. Iron Fist, heavyweight champion, the WBC. He is 39 years old today. Jason McGuire of
Death Cab for Cutie. He's the drummer for that band. He's 36. And Jared Padalecki celebrates his 28th birthday. Oh, by the way, Dave the King of Mexico wanted me to mention that Kristen Bell's birthday was yesterday.
Oh.
Kristen Bell is 30. Okay, her birthday was yesterday. She wrote here on my list, but wish her a birthday anyway. I saw her celebrating her birthday over the weekend, by the way.
Is that right?
We were at the same restaurant. Her and Dax Shepard and a big table of people. I guess they were having a little birthday dinner.
Was Dave there?
Dave was not there. I thought I called him and said, Dave, get over here. Crash the party.
But then you knew better.
But she looked lovely, as always. So happy birthday, Kristen. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be broadcasting live from San Diego on Friday, by the way. You know, Comic-Con is this weekend, and Ralph's going to be down there on Thursday. We're going to be down there Friday. Tons of great guests, including our friend Kevin Smith and Will Ferrell and Seth Rogen and Rob Corddry and Adam Sessler, so much more. We'll have details, if they're not up already, different Adam, at kevinandbean.com if you want to come down and be part of the live broadcast. We'd love to see you down there on Friday.
They did a survey about women and sex in England, and about half of Brit women prefer keeping their clothes on during sex.
That's what? Bull.
Half.
What was that mean?
It's his attempt to not say the word I just said.
I was beeping because it is bull.
48% of females prefer not to bear it all in bed, leaving on one garment.
No kidding.
Excuse me. I'm paying. I'm in a relationship because I like to see you naked.
Yeah, they don't like that so much.
That is so 48%.
Isn't that crazy? And it's all because of self-confidence issues, you know, their body image.
Right.
They also would prefer to have sex with lights off, of course. 61%.
Again, bogus.
Right?
Do they actually like sex?
I don't know. They didn't ask that question at first. Maybe they just asked random people who hate sex anyway.
Yeah.
Those statistics were a little higher than we thought they would be.
Almost half of the people they surveyed, the women, said that they wear some item of clothing during sex.
They like negligees because it kind of covers them up. But if they had a choice, it would be a bra. Yeah. They would leave the bra on.
Oh, my gosh.
And 100% of the men said, oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised, but it's still disappointing. it's still disappointing. Ladies, listen, do it for us. Just go ahead and take it off. I mean, Psycho Mike is honked up in the head, and you leave your shirt on, right, Mike, if you can?
If I had my choice, yes.
He leaves his shirt on while he's walking around his apartment by himself, by the way. Yeah. That's how effed up he is.
In case he catches himself in the mirror.
Right.
That's true. I was walking around. I got back from the beach yesterday morning, had my shirt off, you know, to put a wetsuit on, and then immediately put a t-shirt on just to hang out in my house.
That's weird, right?
Because God forbid you see that body.
It's, well, you know what it is? It's just, I don't know. It's your self-image is not always what other people see of you.
Right. What we see in the mirror. Never mind.
In the mirror.
Is you not the same as what mirror, I see. What's actually in the mirror.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm interested in this study, and I'm interested in talking to Kevin and Bean listeners who maybe can identify with this story, because almost half of women prefer to leave some clothes on. I mean, clearly the guy finds you attractive enough to have sex with you. It seems like he would find you attractive enough to see you naked.
Well, I think for some women, especially larger-breasted women, gravity takes over at some point.
Right.
And then if you're laying on your back, they end up under your armpits.
Oh. That's all right.
Probably isn't so. It's like, where are they?
Listen.
maybe that's what they don't like.
Listen. If there's a choice, turn off the lights. But you got to take off the clothes, right?
Well, it just seems like skin to skin
is sex.
Great. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point, right?
That's what you would think.
Yeah.
But apparently, women don't feel that way. So 48% say they would like to keep on one piece of clothing, and 61% say they would like to do it in the dark. Now, if they do it in the dark, does that mean they can take off the clothing? Doesn't it? They don't answer that.
I don't know. I'm confused.
How that works.
I don't think the dark's great either. I like to see what's going on.
Lisa's a goer. Yeah. I love her so much. Yeah. I love her so much. We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have any thoughts on this study or if this study sounds like it is talking about you, I insist on keeping the Viking helmet on. I mean, that's just sure. How I roll is I can't do it without the Viking helmet. But I would be curious to hear about some of these people or maybe from their partners who have run into this. I mean, I would imagine that this is the type of thing that could cause some tension. If, you know, the husband, for instance, or the boyfriend is really into seeing the goods, and the wife or the girlfriend, or both of them, are saying no to that. Yes to sex, no to taking off the clothes.
And it occurs to me, if she's not taking off her clothes for sex, she's really trying not to be naked in front of him ever.
Right.
So, like, he never sees him.
Right. And that's bad.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think that's bad.
Let's try, again, 1-800-520-1067 if you can shed some light on this study. Let's start with Alyssa. She is on line one calling us, and she may have a take on this. Alyssa, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for calling, my dear.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Okay, the problem is that I know I have an eating disorder, very bad body image, very low self-acceptance of myself, and I can barely stand looking at myself naked sometimes in the mirror.
Wow.
And so to have someone else see you naked and, you know, it's just, it's uncomfortable and it gets to the point sometimes where it physically becomes nauseating.
Wow.
Dude, wow. So, and it doesn't matter because this is going on in your head. It may not reflect reality for the rest of us. It doesn't matter if the man or woman, I don't know what your deal is, says how great you look or how turned on they are by seeing you naked. That doesn't help.
Yeah, we have such poor body image. I mean, like,
it's just distorted, right? You don't really see what's going on.
It's called body dysmorphic disorder, and just the chemical makeup in your body makes you not able to see it, right?
Huh. But you're aware of that in yourself.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it any easier to see it, you know?
What if the lights are off completely?
That is one technique that a lot of people in our community do sometimes so that they can, you know, get through the whole experience.
Does it get any easier ever?
Sometimes, like, it takes 7 to 10 years, though, with eating disorders to fully recover, so.
Does it just ruin sex for you? You said get through the experience.
No, sometimes, though, you also have the other people that go the other way and completely try to, you know, deny this problem. They go the other way and completely go all the time, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right. What are their addresses?
So this is something that it sounds like you're aware of, and is it something you're working on because you'd like to get past it and think you could enjoy sex more if you were able to have a better body image?
I'm 3 years in recovery now, so I have, like, I guess more 5 or something more years to go. And
wow.
Hopefully one day, yeah, I'll be able to. I mean, like, I do it right now, but it's really complicated. I mean, I have to do some pretty mind-prepping work and stuff before I go with my guy, you know?
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I appreciate you calling and sharing your story. Thank you, Alyssa.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
I thought you sounded kind of fat, to tell you the truth. All right, 1-800.
What's wrong with you?
What? Hey, 1-800-520-1067.
Nice.
That is the number. We'll take your calls on this right after this break on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We are right in the middle of a conversation about a recent survey that says almost half of British women prefer keeping their clothes on during sex. 48% of females prefer not to take it all off and leaving on at least one item. Number one on that list, by the way, is the bra, to which I say BS. I got to be really careful today.
Yeah.
So we're taking your calls on that at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Pamela on line six. I think her call maybe speaks to this directly. Hey, Pam, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Hey, yeah. When I was a lot younger, I would not take off my bra during sex because, I mean, my breast size was so small. And so, yeah, I totally felt uncomfortable.
And did the guys say, I don't care? And then
you'd
say, too bad?
Course. Yeah. I mean, because it was just so ingrained. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, you can do what you like, obviously. It's your choice. But to a guy, they'd rather see small boobs than no boobs, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, now I know that.
Now you know that.
But,
So you said when you were younger, that's what used to happen. What's different now?
I got breast implants.
All right. Oh, there's our girl.
She can't keep her clothes on.
That's the answer to every problem.
now you're walking topless around town because you can, right?
That's right.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try, how about Brian? Let's try Brian on line four, see what he's got to say. Hey, Brian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
All right.
For me, I honestly believe that some article of clothing, maybe not a bra, but just some article of clothing does look sexy, gives, you know, leads to the imagination. You know, it's a mind game.
Do you like it more when a girl leaves something on?
Yeah. I mean, even something as small as, say, like a teddy or a negligee.
Right.
To me, I find that extremely sexy. I mean, I'm one of those guys that thinks burlesque is hotter than a strip show.
Right.
Okay. I
know a lot of people
that.
Feel that way. Okay, let me ask you this then. Every time, or are there times where you would like to see the naked altogether?
I would like to see the naked as much as I would like to see, you know, some kind of article of clothing left on. I don't know. To me, it's a big turn on because, you know, even though I may have seen the girl, you know, 100 times, it just that little bit that, hey, maybe, you know.
Maybe there's something under there that I haven't seen
something
before.
New.
Right.
Well, not so much that, but it's just, you know, the whole idea, the fact that, you know, hey.
I got you.
I want to see something and maybe I have to work for it.
She's not going to give it all to you.
I prefer to. Thank you very much for the call, Brian. I prefer if Donna wears a bag over her head. That way I can imagine she is whoever I want her to be.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What? No,
great.
I'm just.
No wonder women hate you. Let's go to Samantha.
All right. Samantha's on line 3 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Samantha, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi.
You know, I do both. Sometimes I'll wear a bra when I have sex with my boyfriend, or sometimes I won't. When I do, it is because, you know, body images and everything like that. But when I'm more confident sometimes when I have something like a really sexy bra on and I actually participate more in sex, which, you know, kind of excites my boyfriend.
So it makes the sex better for him.
Yeah, and I enjoy it more, too, because I'm not so worried about, oh, you know, how do I look?
Right.
And, you know, I wish certain things were bigger and things like that. So I actually find it more enjoyable because I'm not focusing on that so much. And he like, seems to like it better, too.
All right.
Well, fortunately, there is surgery now, so you can fix what's broken, Samantha. Thank you very much for the call.
Bean.
What about, remember, thank you for the call. What about, remember when we found out that Omar always has sex with his socks on?
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah,
what was that about? What was the reason? Was it in the event of a fire, you wouldn't be able to get dressed and get out of there faster?
I think he expects the police to bust in at any moment.
It's possible.
And needs to be ready to run.
Let's close with Jenny. She's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Half of British women say they prefer to leave an article of clothing on during sex. Jenny, is that your situation or not?
My situation's just kind of the opposite. My boyfriend wants me to wear clothes. I'd rather be naked.
Oh, no! That stings. What's going on there?
It's the same thing that that Brian was saying a little bit earlier. That he wants
you mean like
a
negligee or something?
Yeah, so he finds that like you're teasing him, you won't give him everything he wants.
Yeah, but...
But does he ever?
It messes with my self-image because I work really hard to look great.
Right, you should.
And now I have to cover it up.
No, you shouldn't. You should make him get used to it.
But he's talking about wearing something sexy. He's not like, wow, I can't stand to look at you. Please put on this burqa, right?
No, he wants me to wear the short skirts. But one unbelievable thing is that I do have small breasts, and he wants me to wear a bra.
He wants you to?
Huh. Mm-hmm.
How about that? Interesting. Well, you guys are just throwing
puppy bra.
You guys are throwing the whole curve off on this study.
I know. It's driving
Because it's
me
the opposite. He wants you to stay clothed, and you want to take them off.
Exactly.
I want to take them off.
You should.
All right. Good luck with your implants, too, Jenny. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay, bye.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We'll catch up with our friend Mary Lynn Ricecub. She was Chloe on 24 with a stand-up. It's a one-woman stand-up show she's doing, right, Lisa? Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll find out all about that coming up. Plus, the Kevin and Bean listener that wants to get a Ralph tattoo on his body. We may try to talk him out of that. That's coming up in about 20 minutes.
It was hot all weekend long, very hot. And it's, well, I don't know, you know, middle of July, pretty much supposed to be. But the news stations in Southern California, for some reason, they go crazy. And I'm not seeing this anywhere else.
They do love it, and I guess they love it because they fear that weather is the most relatable thing to every single person watching. So now you've got something that people are actually interested in. You might as well make that the whole show.
But the people aren't interested in it, and they always do man on the street interviews. And every single time they do it, we think, well, if I did that interview, I would cut it out because it's not good. They don't want to waste any tape. So they go out and they talk to people about the heat and they air it. Like, for example, this woman is explaining to them, I don't know, they're up at the mountains someplace and her family was in town. And the anchor was asking her about, you know, the heat and why they decided to do this. And this was her exciting, exciting answer.
It is really hot. And, I came over here because my family's coming down from Washington. And we decided that we should come.
Okay, so that was it. That was the whole
really?
Interview. Right, and then you go,
I learned nothing.
Why did you, how come that got put on the air? How did that air?
You're right, they put anything.
How did they not call back and go, I interviewed this chick, she was kind of dull. Here's another one.
And what's this? Golf in such hot weather?
Oh, what's this? And what do we see here? Golf? In hot weather, and then he asks the guy. Now, again, if the guy gives me this answer, I'm not going to use it.
I'm looking at your shirt. You're covered in sweat. Was it worth it?
It's always worth it.
All right.
Is he shocked that it's hot out and people don't just curl up on their basement floor and wait for it to pass, that people still go out and go to work and go eat and go out and play?
It's like the news channels do this story because
and they think they're getting different answers. It's like they're getting the answers they want, but they're not at all. The guy's like, it's always worth it. Yeah, it's no problem.
I don't understand that. I mean, we would never put any of that on the air. And we have 5 hours.
But they don't.
They have like a half hour to do the news.
I don't think they pay attention to what the people are saying. I think they just go, hey, it's hot out here. And they think they're done. They put the mic in front of the other person. They don't listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Super boring.
I understand that it has been hot in Southern California. I mean, it was over 100 for several days in a row in a lot of places like where you live, Kevin, right?
Right.
But I mean, you pretty much know that.
Sure.
And you pretty much know that it's hot out, and you pretty much know that you should stay inside and drink water. I mean, there's not really much the news. You don't really need to go to the news for any kind of survival tips when it gets hot.
Well, they love to give you survival tips.
Here's my favorite.
How about this wild weather, though? I mean, this week it's been crazy.
You know what? It's not really wild. We're finally getting some heat. It's summer. This is how it's supposed to be right now.
That's my favorite because
her in her place.
She disagrees. When she's like, this is not weird. It's just heat.
This would be weird in November. Not so weird in the middle of July. No.
So why would they hear that? And then finally.
I don't like the heat.
Why?
Because it's hot.
Yeah, we're in agreement. It's hot.
It's hot.
I don't like the heat because it's hot.
We have for many, many years admired a reporter who works on the NBC affiliate in Los Angeles, Channel 4. His name is Doug Kriegel. He retired from Channel 4. He is no longer doing coverage for them. But I understand that we have a hookup with Mr. Kriegel.
We do.
And we can find out what he's doing because heat was part of his beat. He was always the guy out on the street in weather like this. And Doug joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doug, can you hear us okay?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Hey, welcome to Heat Watch 2010.
Heat Watch 2010.
Hotting up for you.
How you been, Doug? We haven't talked in a long time. It's been warm, yeah.
It is blisteringly hot.
It's 100. It is pretty much every summer.
It is unfathomably hot. You cannot wrap your mind around it.
But wasn't it just this hot last summer, too?
No, this is the hottest it's ever been on the planet Earth.
That's not true.
We have some survival tips for you going through this heat.
Good. Survival
Number
tips
one,
now.
Heat Watch 2010.
Sorry, drink water.
Drink water?
Okay.
Wouldn't have thought of that.
Number two, don't wear a fur coat.
That's excellent advice, Doug.
All right, good.
The Los Angeles DWP is asking you to set your home thermostat to 108.
108 seems excessive.
We don't want any brownouts.
Sure.
Number four, don't set yourself on fire. In these temperatures, it's just going to make you feel hotter.
Okay, is that a problem that anyone's having? I mean, have you had a report that someone set themselves on fire?
Number five, don't stand under a giant magnifying glass with the sun out.
Okay, all right.
Well, it will burn a hole right through you.
But no one is going to do that anyway, regardless of the weather, Doug.
If you're looking for a cooling center, buy an air conditioner. Make your own home a cooling center, because I don't think those things are really that good.
What's that?
Oh, what do we have here? A man walking in this incredible heat.
How is he doing it?
Sir, how are you walking in this incredible heat?
It's only like 69 degrees.
No, it's blisteringly hot.
It's fine.
Aren't your shoes melting to the asphalt?
No, not at all.
Isn't your flesh turning to molten lava?
No, it's not hot at all.
God damn you to hell, sir.
Heat Watch 2010.
Paramore on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:52.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan of Paramore as I am?
That's a good question, Dave. Thank you very much for that. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Ralph Garman joins us. And then after the top of the hour, Ralph, we're going to talk to your biggest fan. He's interested in getting a tattoo of your face on his body.
Yeah, I'm painfully aware of that fact.
We will speak with Louie coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, what's going on?
Well, it's Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Inception. Number one by far this weekend, $60.4 million made it so, and that's just about what they were anticipating the film would make. A lot of buzz, a lot of Chris Nolan fans, a lot of Leonardo DiCaprio fans, and a great
thank you, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Despicable Me was second at the box office, a little over $32 million, continues to be a smash hit. The Sorcerer's Apprentice did not fare as well in its debut weekend, just $17.4 million made it number three. The Twilight Saga was Eclipse. It was Toy Story 3 was fifth, Grown Ups was sixth, The Last Airbender, Predators, Night and Day, and The Karate Kid running at your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, yet another Janis Joplin biography in the works. Apparently, another production company is planning on making a Janis Joplin biopic. For those who don't know, Janis Joplin was a soul, blues, rock, country singer of the 60s. She sort of did it all and was the prototypical female rock star in the late 60s. She died young. She was a drinker and a partier and a drug addict and apparently a good time. And they've been trying to make a movie about her life forever, yeah. It seems like. At one point, Lily Taylor was attached to a project. Another time, Zooey Deschanel was in talks to play Janis. Another time, Pink was talking about wanting to make a Janis Joplin movie.
She would have been good. That would have been good casting.
And now, apparently, Amy Adams has been tapped to play Janis Joplin.
I was shocked to hear that.
That is hard to imagine. Huh.
Look, she can sing.
Yes, we do know that.
I think she's a super talented actress. She was Amelia Earhart in Night at the Museum. You may remember the Battle of the Smithsonian. She was Julie in Julie and Julia, Kevin's favorite film from last year. Ugh. And I think she may be able to do it.
I love her, and I think she's talented. I'm not going to count her out. They sure are going to have to ugly her up, though, because she's very beautiful, and Janis Joplin was very not.
Yeah. She might have to go Robert De Niro in it and gain 40 pounds, because she's a big, beefy, scraggly-haired broad. But who knows? Another movie in the works that is very interesting. Aaron Sorkin, apparently, is working on a film based on a book by a guy named Andrew Young, who was John Edwards' former aide and was largely responsible for helping John conceal the affair that he was having during his second bid for presidency while his wife of 33 years, Elizabeth, was struggling with cancer.
He's the one who had the sex tape, held onto the sex tape for John, right?
Aaron Sorkin apparently believes this kind of political intrigue would serve a major motion picture. Well, he may be right. He, of course, was responsible for the West Wing, so he knows something about the facts. And
sure.
So, I don't know. I think it could be interesting.
Anything he writes is good.
That seems like that would be a super difficult thing. He's so high profile. How do you keep that under wraps? I mean, that's a huge job.
Sorkin
said, and have a baby with the lady, too.
Sorkin says the story is like a Shakespearean tragedy, he says, filled with motivations, decisions, and consequences, and he would like to play it out on the big screen. I think that'd be cool to see. And since we are heading to Comic-Con this weekend, it wouldn't be a Showbiz Report without a little comic book news. Apparently, they are finishing casting on X-Men First Class, which is sort of a reboot prequel to the X-Men films. It goes back to when all the original X-Men were young people being trained by Professor Charles Xavier, played by Patrick Stewart in the original films. James McAvoy will play Professor X in the
new
films. Michael Fassbender will play Magneto, of course, played by Ian McKellen in the first two films. Jennifer Lawrence has been cast as the nude blue shapeshifter Mystique, originally played by Rebecca Romijn in that film. And Kevin Bacon has also joined the cast of X-Men First Class.
Wow.
So no word yet on who will play Wolverine or if that character will even be in the movie. But Hugh Jackman, when asked, said he thinks Taylor Lautner should take on the role as a young Wolverine. He said he already plays a werewolf in Twilight. My only question is, Hugh said, can he grow mutton chop sideburns? That may be a good point. He does look a little hairless when it comes to his face.
Ralph, you weren't in here earlier, but we got an earful from Roland. He was ticked off that we were going down to Comic-Con this
week. I was driving in. I heard that.
Yeah, it's rough.
Well, you know, a lot of the comic book fans have...
It's weird because you did a showbiz beat right before he called.
Well, I was out getting lunch.
Oh, okay.
A lot of comic book fans down there do have that sort of indie rock mentality.
It's their world.
It's their world.
They
don't want anyone else to have a piece of it.
Yeah.
But that toothpaste may be out of the tube. That water's out of the hose.
Yeah, exactly.
As Nick would say. Let's take a look at our celebrity birthdays today, shall we? Brian May of Queen is 63 years old today. Anthony Edwards is 48. Heavyweight championship boxer Vitaly Iron Fist Klitschko is 39 years old today. I never forget when I had him autograph a boxing glove for me when we had him in. And he spelled my name R-O-L-F.
Said, as any good German would.
What kind of doctor are you? What, Dr. Iron Fist? What exactly is your doctorate in? I don't think it's in spelling. Jason McCurr of Death Cab for Cutie. He's the drummer in that band. He is 36. And Jared Padalecki celebrates his 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
That's very generous of you, Kevin, to overlook that and do her a favor. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited to welcome Kevin and Bean listener Louie to the show. He apparently is a big, big fan, perhaps to his detriment. Louie, how are you, my friend? How are you?
Oh, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Hi.
Hello. Your email was
hey, Larry Ralph here.
I know. I'm just kind of nervous. Hey, how you doing?
No, don't be nervous.
No, you're just fine. You're doing good.
Just having a phone call here. We were very distressed by your email, although we appreciate the fact that you've been listening and you say you're a big fan for more than 6 years. You are such a fan that you actually not only listen to us live on the radio, but you also go to the Kevin Bean archives and listen to clips when we're not on. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, that is completely correct. I mean, whenever the show is done, like around 10 o'clock, pretty much the rest of the day I'm on Kevin and Bean Archives and just pretty much listen to the files there. You know, particularly Ralph.
Particularly Ralph.
Yeah, particularly Ralph. Anything that has to do with Ralph Garman, you know, I just, you know, love listening to any skit that he has or what's got on that site.
You say in your email,
Louie, I appreciate that.
You say in your email, I truly believe that you, Ralph, are the comedic glue that holds the train wreck that is the Kevin and Bean Show together. We agree on that. But where we disagree is you want to get a tattoo of Ralph's face somewhere in your body.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, you know, it's I actually wanted to get it on my leg. I have a tattoo of Che Guevara and Emiliano Zapata on my leg.
Okay.
And I figured
well, I too am a famous Latino union representative, so sure. That makes sense.
Who doesn't fit there?
No. Well, I mean, and I've been, you know, struggling for like the past couple of years trying to figure out exactly what I want there, but you know, since every other thought that I had, well, I just came to the same conclusion. You know, might as well have Ralph Garman, one of my heroes.
Okay, I have to ask before we get into more of the crazy Ralph obsession and decide whether a restraining order is needed here. Look, you're a Latino guy, Louie?
Yes.
Okay, Zapata, very popular Mexican revolutionary. Che Guevara, he was the Cuban guy, part of the Cuban overthrow, right, with Fidel Castro?
Yes, that is correct.
Why not like Cesar Chavez or somebody if you were looking for that big number three? I mean, how do you diss your people and go to Whitey for your third tattoo?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Ralph Garman has had just a bigger impact on my life than Cesar Chavez ever could. You know,
but not as big as Che Guevara and Zapata.
Well, no, I mean those other, you know, two tattoos, I actually got them. They're a symbol of what, you know, what my stance are and my beliefs. You know, they fought for the ultimate for the benefit of the people. You know,
right.
they always wanted the best for what's it called, for what they, you know, wanted for, you know, for their people. And
right.
I thought that's the same way I feel about Ralph. You know, he brings us hours upon hours of just common genius. So
but Ralph isn't fighting for the little man here. Ralph's in here getting a big paycheck for making the yucks.
Listen, well, don't listen to Bean. You're right. I do fight for the little man, especially Latinos. I am tirelessly out there trying to represent and trying to keep you know, Latino rights. I'm going to Arizona.
You're
you know,
not
to,
doing that
to fight the SB 1070.
You're not doing that. At
I'm
all.
Going to be on stage with Rage Against the Machine when they're protesting.
That's not going to happen.
So I don't believe you're doing any of that.
I'm on your side, Louie. You're absolutely right.
The extent of Ralph's contribution to the Latino culture is he does hire gardeners. Okay, that's about it. That's about as far as it goes.
Hey, he's still looking out for the brown man either way, right?
That's right.
All right, what do you have for Guevara and Zapata? Do you have their faces?
Yeah, I have the silhouette of the famous silhouette of Che Guevara, and then I found this picture, this old picture of Zapata on the internet.
Okay.
I just had to put on.
And then
it
does
well.
Ralph go in between them, or does he go on one side? How does that work?
No, he goes on one side.
One side.
Almost like Mount Rushmore. You know how they're like put side by side?
Right.
He'll be right next to Che Guevara.
I'd like to throw my arms around their necks and give them noogies or something, if that's possible. Or put up bunny ears behind them, like
yeah.
We're taking a photo.
Well, I mean, like I said in the email, it's totally up to you. However you want to appear on the what's on the picture, that's how it's going to appear on my leg.
Louie, the reason we had you on the show today, and I specifically asked Kevin Bean to hook this up, because I just wanted to get a chance to talk to you, to beg with you and plead with you not to do this. Just, I don't know how I can impress upon you how really strongly I feel about the fact that you do not get a tattoo of me anywhere on your body. Not because I'm not honored, and I certainly am, and your kind words really mean a lot to me, and I mean that sincerely, but to actually put needle and ink to your skin and put my image somewhere on your body, I think would be a horrible mistake on your part.
And how many times are you going to have to explain to people who he is when you put him amongst those other two?
saw probably like a billion times.
Yes, exactly. And why make your life a living hell like that? You're right. I just want to bring you some happiness in the mornings. I don't want to cause you strife for the rest of your life having to explain who is next to Emilio Zapata and Viva Zapata, by the way.
You should tattoo his face on your face so that you look like him. Have you thought of that?
Louis, here's the thing. You were smart
with
your first two tattoos. You were smart because you got people who are already dead that are famous that everybody already knows about, and you're not going to change your impressions of them as the years go on. But Ralph Garman, I mean, God bless you for listening. We couldn't be more thrilled, and as Ralph said, it couldn't be more of an honor for you to make the suggestion. But 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, the Kevin and Bean Show is going to be so small in your rearview mirror that you're not even going to remember who he is.
Oh, that's not true. I see it the exact opposite. I mean, anytime anybody asks me about my tattoos, I'm always happy to tell them the story behind it. Or,
right.
You know, and like I said, Ralph has just been a huge part of my life. He's been there, you know, his impersonation of Bad Animal voices have always given me, like, tons of laughs.
How dare you suggest we're not actually talking to Bad Animals? How dare you?
And, you know, one of my favorite skits has always been when you guys, you know, what's it called, when he does David Hasselhoff. I mean, even through my darkest of times, he's all, you know, his skits have always brought a smile to my face.
Well, the Hoff does cheer you up.
Well, that's great.
True.
That's great that we could do that for you, Louis. And I hope you'll keep listening and keep enjoying it. But you can enjoy all those things without having to tattoo my face anywhere on your body.
Why don't you get this tattooed?
This is a mess.
Get those words.
All right, here's what we ought to do. And by the way, go to kevinandbean.com right now. And at the very top of the page, you'll see the Tattoo Regrets Gallery. And by the way, this might be good homework for you too, Lou. You might want to be on the website while you're on hold here and check it out. Because there's a wide assortment of tattoos. Lots of misspellings, lots of things that were supposed to be one thing but look like something else. It's very, very funny. And I think we need some help because we're not getting through to Louie here. I think we're going to have some people call in, Kevin, who have had bad tattoos, have understood the regret of a mistake in ink, and can help us talk Louie out of it. What do you think?
Hey, Louie, can you stick around? Or can we call you back in like 5 minutes?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, because the, you know, this photo gallery is pretty great. I'm awesome all the way across the guy's back. It's spelled AWSOME. Perfect. some guy's got Chug Life across his stomach. That's funny.
That is funny.
That's me, by the way. Chug Life is me. I don't regret that at all. I don't know how that got in the gallery.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, and there are a lot of them on there, and a lot of people who do worship, you know, their heroes spell it wrong, or they've got a weird picture, and a lot of regrets. We're just saying think it through.
And by the way, there's a Garrett, the Kevin and Bean listener, who's got the Kevin and Bean tattoo. His picture is up there. And also, is it another listener, Mike, who got your face tattooed on his leg?
Yeah, Robbie got it on his forearm. Like a huge portrait of my face on his forearm.
And let's face it, he already regrets that.
No, I keep in contact with him. He still loves it somehow, some way.
Really?
Yeah.
Mike keeps calling and saying, can I see your forearm again?
Yeah.
Can you send me another picture of your forearm? I love your forearm. Can I see your forearm?
Your forearm is beautiful.
So help
it's great,
us.
Right?
Help us 100%. Talk Louis out of the tattoo. We're asking you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. In particular, we're looking for people who have regrettable tattoos. You thought, just like Louis does now, that it would be a great idea to get this on your body, and now you realize big mistake. Please call 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. This must be very tough for you, Ralph, because you're grateful to Louis for being such a big fan of yours and a strong supporter of the Kevin and Bean Show, yet you don't want him to ruin his life by getting your face tattooed on his body.
Yeah, I can't think of really a worse tattoo to get, quite frankly. I'd be hard-pressed. I've looked through the pictures, and I say, nope, still worse. No, mine's still worse. Worse.
Yeah.
Worse.
Please go to kevinandbean.com. Check out the Gallery of Regretful Tattoos. They're very, very funny. A lot of people, really, just go ahead and spell check is one piece of advice I have.
That's the biggest piece of advice. How many are misspelled?
Yeah.
It's not
tragedy
spelled. If you do it wrong, you can fix it pretty. Oh, wait a minute. It's permanent.
Speaking of spelling, let's try Taryn real quick. She is on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Taryn, thanks for hanging on. Tell Louis he should not get a tattoo of Ralph's face.
You should definitely not get a tattoo of Ralph's face on your body. You're going to regret that so much.
Louis?
Yeah.
All right. You hear that?
listen to Taryn. Right.
What happened to you, Taryn?
Well, I got really drunk. This is about a year ago, and my friend had a tattoo machine, decided to tattoo my favorite band on my body, which was Queens of the Stone Age.
Right.
Oh, no.
So we had to get out of delay because she cursed, but Queens of the Stone Age ended up Q-E-E-N-O-F-T-E-S-T-O-N-E, which is not really
Queen of the Stone.
Of the Stone Age.
It's like Kevin did your tattoo for you.
Taryn, is that the type of thing that you can go back and maybe have a professional clean up a little bit and make it look good?
Yeah, I'm in the process of getting it done. At least it's on my behind. Sure. But, you know, it's just one of the stupidest things I think I've ever done.
Yeah. Alcohol plus tattoo machine, maybe not a good combination. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that.
Anybody who's got a friend with a home tattoo machine, by the way, maybe you don't want to engage in that.
A lot of people know ex-cons. Let's try Ashley. She's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ashley, give us a horror story, please, to help us talk Louie out of his Ralph tattoo.
I have Boy George tattoos. That should just say it all.
You have Boy George? Wait, did you say tattoos?
Yeah, multiple, too.
Multiple Boy George tattoos?
The thing about the tattoos is they're very, very well done, and people love them, but I hate talking about it. Hate explaining why I did it.
Why did you do it?
I was 18, my parents were strict, and I said, what could I do to piss them off? And I pretty much found it.
So you got Boy George on each arm? So
who's the gayest Englishman I can think of that I can tattoo onto my body?
It gets worse, because they're not even relevant Boy George. They're like 90s Boy George.
Well, what is relevant?
When he cut his hair and put like the weird makeup on?
Yeah. It's like freaky 90s Boy George. Not even like
Big like rabbi hat Boy George with the dreadlocks.
No,
it's not even the good Boy George.
Now, were you in the 90s? Were you still like super into Boy George, or was it really just to tick off your parents?
Well, I was really into Boy George, but it was pretty much like it's huge arm tattoos. Like I can't. During the summer, I can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What a story. Yeah. Wow.
That's Did your parents say, do you really want to hurt me when you got that tattoo?
Sweet. Funny enough, Boy George knows who I am, and he thinks it's like the greatest thing ever.
That's all he's got going.
Yeah, it's just you.
The only place he can be seen now is on your arms.
Exactly.
Karen, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. See, this is good advice, Louie, because at the time, if you would have gone to 18-year-old Karen and you would have said, believe me, one day you're going to regret Boy George, she would have said no. She would have said, oh, I'm going to love Boy George forever. He's always going to be timely and topical. I'll never regret this. But look, hindsight proves that it was a mistake.
Well, it's Boy George, by the way. Come on now.
He's got a point.
He's got a point. I don't think I'll ever fall as far as Boy George did.
Even when he was popular.
He's still Boy George.
Let's try Monique. She's on line 7, talking about regrettable tattoos. Again, you can see the gallery at kevinandbean.com. Very funny photos. Hi, Monique. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. What do you have?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
What do you got, Monique?
Okay. I have a huge star, like the size of a man's hand, on my lower back of my chin stamp. It's like magenta with like aqua polka dots in the middle of it. It looks like SpongeBob's friend Patrick.
Sure.
And all my friends nicknamed it Patrick from SpongeBob. It's the most hideous thing in the world. Every guy that sees it's just like, oh my god, that thing is so hideous.
And it's the tramp stamp barrier back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds hideous going in. How did you make that decision?
Drinking.
I was 18 and
drinking.
I wish that was the case. Actually, now I was very sober.
What?
Yes.
How do you make that decision sober?
Like all the girls that have called, I wanted to piss somebody off. I wanted to piss my parents off, so I went ahead and I got like the biggest, ugliest thing that I could possibly get.
Yeah, you should have taught them.
I have to live with it.
Yeah, you showed them, man.
But at least by time guys get a good look at the tramp stamp, you're giving them something else to think about. So that's good news.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then maybe.
But then they look again and they see Patrick and they go, nope. All right. Thank you for the call. I don't feel like we're making any progress with Louie.
I don't either. Hey, here's a great idea from Kevin Bean listener Ignacio, by the way, who says, I'm totally down with Louie's support of Ralph, but instead of a Ralph Garman face tattoo, why not get a Sharktopus tattoo?
Yeah, see, now that makes sense.
Now, Sharktopus is forever. Yes. Exactly. What about that, Louie? Because that's a tribute to Ralph also because he's in the movie.
With Ralph's face. You could put Ralph's face on
on the shark.
Yeah, but then at least it's Sharktopus.
Hey, like I said, it's Ralph's choice. Whatever he sends me, I'll get it tattooed.
Oh, Sharktopus!
I don't need
awesome.
That kind of pressure, man.
Nicole has Hamburger Helper on her back.
No. Oh my god!
What, the Hamburger Helper hand? Yeah. That little dude.
That's good.
Let's take Daryl real quick. He's on line 4. Hey, Daryl. Thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bad tattoos is what we're talking about. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing? I got a big elephant on my back.
Okay. Nope. All right. We don't have time for wacky voices. I'm sorry. Screeners.
That was a good wacky voice, though.
Was
very
it?
Very good. No, I'm just
let's
kidding.
Try Amanda on line 6. This sounds like an awesome tattoo. What, are you kidding me? Amanda, hi. Welcome.
Hey, what's up,
what's up? Good morning.
Hi. Boyfriend got what?
He got a vagina tatted on him.
Yeah!
Did he have it done on his sphincter?
Where?
On his palm. No, I'm just kidding. It's on where, pretty much where the joint opens on your arm, just above the where your arm meets here.
Awesome!
Wait, by his underarm, you mean?
No, by his bicep, kind of. Like,
near his elbow.
His elbow.
I'm sorry?
The inside of his elbow?
The inside of his elbow?
Yeah, the inside of his right elbow.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was good?
No, it's horrible. It's like not even pretty. It's open, like it's open. It has a drip to it. Like,
oh,
what is wrong with him?
Yes, make it as gross as you can.
An infected one?
Yes.
And no, the best part is it's next to a rooster.
I see the reference there.
Now, Amanda, this is your boyfriend.
Yeah,
he's a bad decision maker.
Him. Yeah.
No, this is so sad. When I seen it, I cried. I cried.
Yeah, I can understand.
You should have.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's not even pretty. Like,
all right, we got it. It's a seeping vagina.
If it were a pretty vagina, you'd
be
into
vagina,
it.
By the way. I saw him at the Troop last week.
Oh, no, they're good.
All right, Amanda, thank you. We're
line
out of
number three. That's the greatest tattoo I've ever heard of. Who could regret that?
See
that there?
Let's go to Henry. Hi, Henry.
All right.
Hey, guys.
Hey, hi, Henry.
How you doing?
What'd you get?
I have Captain Crunch playing an electric guitar on my left butt cheek.
Yeah!
No regret necessary.
I like that.
I don't regret that at all. Well, yeah.
Nor should you.
I like that.
Yeah. I was 15, and we were sitting around, and I was sober, not stoned, not drunk, nothing. And one of my friends decided to say, she was like, I've always wanted someone to get a Captain Crunch tattoo. So I said, I'll get a Captain Crunch tattoo. She goes, I'll pay for it. I said, all right. She goes, it has to be on your butt.
Massive. All right.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, can he be doing what I want him to be doing? Because I'm a guitarist. I was like, can I have him be playing, like, an electric guitar? So I found a picture of an electric guitar that Zach Wilde used to play. And, yeah.
All right. But now you need a whole band, Henry. I need, like, the Lucky Charms Leprechaun on drums on your other ass cheek.
Good. Ralph.
And, like, Toucan Sam. Toucan Sam from Fruit Loops.
Playing the bass. Years, I've never
hey,
heard that
hey, don't be smart off with us. We're not the ones that have the Captain Crunch tattoo.
All right, Henry. That is awesome. Thank you very much. By the way, we can't even put it up on the website, but a listener heard that we were going to be discussing this and sent us a picture of a two girls, one cup tattoo.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, it was extremely realistic, and it's not something that I can ever unsee, unfortunately.
That's the best.
All
that's
right,
the best
Louis,
tattoo ever.
You've heard the evidence against the decision to get a Ralph tattoo. What's your verdict here, buddy?
Nope, still want to do it.
Guevara?
Oh, man.
Zapate? Wow. Garmin.
Yep.
So we need to get cartoonist Paul Lee, the official cartoonist of the Kevin Bean Show, to draw up some Ralph designs for you, I guess. Is that the next step here, then?
Yeah, that would probably be the next step.
You know, it'd be helpful, though, is, Louis, you should send us the two tattoos that you have so he can kind of get an idea of what they look like. And maybe he can make Ralph kind of into the same way.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I'll take a picture of my leg and I'll send it out today.
Well, right. Okay, I'm glad I could make you happy all this time, but you've made me very sad today. I hope you know that.
No. Like I said, I'm going in this with no regrets.
You always go into it with no regrets. It's 5 years later that you have the regrets.
No. I'm going to be talking about it, and I'll be proud of it just as I am when I get it.
All right, Louis. You won't.
All right, we'll be in touch.
We'll
look for your email. Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
Marilyn Ricecup joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. She, of course, Chloe from 24, talking about her one-woman stage show. She's very funny, by the way. A lot of people have forgotten because she was on that 24 show for so long that she's a hilarious comedian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I hear great things about the show, so we'll talk to her coming up. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes, too. Los Angeles, like many cities around the country, is in a constant battle between the people who want to use the roads for automobiles and the douchebags who want to ride their bikes on it. And what happens is that's not a good combination. Bicycles in traffic, not a good combination. Didn't work out that well.
It's legal, right? It is legal.
It is legal.
Yeah.
For the bikes to ride on the road. But some of them take advantage of it and drive, ride slowly.
Some of them aren't good at it. And some drivers are just clueless when it comes to understanding that there are bicycles and even motorcycles also sharing the roads. Yes. And they do a lot of dumb things. So I don't know.
Car plus bicycle equals car.
Equals car, right. So I don't know exactly what happened this time, but the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, was out riding on Saturday night on Venice Boulevard around 10 minutes till 7 when a taxi pulled in front of him, I guess in the bike lane. Maybe the taxi was turning or something like that. It's unclear from the LA Times article exactly what happened. But the mayor slammed on his brakes on his bicycle, fell off the bike, and broke his elbow. Taken to the hospital, broke his elbow.
So we
what
thought,
an idiot. Did he just put on the front brake only and go flying over the handlebars?
That's what I heard. He basically fell off the bike when he braked really hard.
Who does that?
but I guess, you know, you're reacting instantly. I mean, you've got 1 second to make that decision, and it's easy to see how something like this would happen. I mean, these accidents are fairly common, but let's find out how the mayor is doing today, because he, of course, a frequent guest on the Kevin Bean Show, and he joins us now. Hey, Mayor, how are you?
Sure. How are you doing?
Yeah. Who did, what happened? What did you just shoot?
A seagull.
Yeah. I don't know why you would do that, but all right.
You had to have surgery on your elbow, right?
Yeah,
you broke
my elbow's killing me, man. Okay. Right now, I'm like right around my bike right now. It's like...
Maybe you shouldn't be riding.
Yeah, man. It hurts when I shoot my shotgun.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be riding a bike and shooting a shotgun.
Maybe you should take my you-know-what and put it right in your you-know-what. Okay.
But how are you even riding a bike if you've got a shotgun in one hand and a phone in the other?
Oh, because, man, I've been... riding my fixie for years now.
You're part of a fixie group?
That's right. That's when I hurt myself the other night. I was with my fixie crew, the Puto Patrol.
So you're out just trying to meet chicks on your bike because that's what turns a woman on?
That's right. I put on my iPod with my indie rock. I was playing Farmville, and I was I put my skinny corduroy pants on, and I cut them at the knees, and I got on my fixie,
right?
And I was riding around with my crew. The Puto Patrol. And next thing you know, he caught in front of me, and I'm like, and I fell on the ground. I broke my elbow.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, hold on real quick. I got a text message real here. Whoa.
You shouldn't.
Oh, man. Virgosa, what happened there?
Text at the same time.
God damn it. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't multitask so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Put on my bike again.
You have a bad arm and a weapon.
Hey, let me reload real quick.
Wait, what?
Did you fall off your bike again, Mr. Mayor?
Clearly riding my bike with Curly and Mo.
It's difficult to tell with the sound effect.
Whoa! Hey.
Now what? And now what? What? Was that a vuvuzela? What's going on?
Had one in my back pocket.
Okay.
That one really hurt.
Maybe less riding of bicycles for just the day.
Oh, no, buddy. You don't understand. It's so relaxing.
Right,
you know, and I have a stressful job. And whoa, watch out!
Is that a chimpanzee army?
Oh.
What is that?
Oh. Man, I must be lost. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I don't either. See you running a Monday
night. Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:54.
What's happening?
Well, what's happening is Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening with you, Ralph?
Well, it is Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Just like we do every Monday, Inception in its debut made over $60 million at the box office this weekend, making it number one by about double after the number two movie, which was Despicable Me, making another $32 million this weekend. Sorcerer's Apprentice did not impress in its opening weekend, making just a little bit over $17 million. Mm-hmm. So Disney can't be too pleased with that number. The Twilight Saga Eclipse was the fourth film out of the top 10. Toy Story 3. Tops the number five spot. Grown Ups was six. Then The Last Airbender, Predators, Night and Day, and The Karate Kid rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Everybody go see Inception?
I did.
Not yet.
Oh, Lisa.
Oh, I can't
wait.
Oh, Lisa.
For sure.
You so have to.
Yeah,
and you have to
I'm
soon
excited.
Because there's a lot of twists and stuff. You don't want to get ruined.
Okay.
Although I think it would be hard to spoil that movie. Because so much is going on. There's not one thing you could say about it. Maybe towards the end, the ending scene, maybe.
DiCaprio
could.
Dies. Other than that.
Oh, what?
Heaven.
What? Oh, what have you done?
Oh.
Ralph, I will tell you that most movies you don't carry with you out of the theater. This is one that you end up thinking about for a while, I think. Especially that last 5 seconds. That last 5 seconds, I thought all weekend long. I thought, I wonder. You didn't hear Kevin's ridiculous comments when you were out of the room, though, about how Marion Cotillard is not hot because her eyes are bonkers.
Oh,
her eyes
sweet
are all
Jesus
bonkers.
In heaven.
Oh, my God.
They're bonkers, aren't
She's
they?
She's smoking hot.
She's so hot.
And her eyes are stunning.
Bonkers.
Oh.
I mean, let's talk about picking apart a nearly perfect, beautiful woman, right?
Her performance, by the way, is so impressive in that film.
Yeah, then you look at her and it's
bonkers.
She's a great actress and she's so beautiful.
Wow. Wow. Well, Spencer Pratt apparently is upset. We haven't been talking about him for the last 15 minutes, so he had to give another interview.
Bonkers.
He's talking about his relationship with his wife, Heidi Montag, and why they split.
Did he say because I'm a giant dick?
More or less.
Really?
He said, we love each other, but I'm a fame whore, and I'll never grow out of that. Heidi knows that and doesn't want it. I want every kind of press. She believes in bad press. There's no way my love of fame and her love for puppies will ever work out successfully. She just wants to hike and hang out and be calmer. She doesn't want to be Spidey anymore. She wants to be Heidi Montag, the sex symbol. She thought I'd burn out of this, but no. I'm the same Spencer, went on the hills to be famous. I still need to do stunts and take cues from Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
what?
Well, obviously, you've patterned your career after those guys.
Wait, what?
Yeah. She says he and Heidi are still friendly, but it's been a constant battle regarding his love of fame at any price since they got married. She'd be like, are you really tweeting that? Why are you doing that?
I wonder if the only reason he wanted to get married was for the publicity and the attention.
Possible. Spencer says now he's taking a new tack. Now that the Hills is over, he's got a new career. I'm an artist now.
Yeah.
I have an easel and everything.
Oh, my God.
I'm going for an art show and a gallery, he says. So look forward to his painting sometime soon.
Wow.
He is the Gary Coleman of the future.
I wish he'd be the Gary Coleman of the present.
Lindsay Lohan!
Still incapable of keeping her mouth shut, even as she prepares to enter her 90-day jail sentence this week. She's tweeting, taking some time to slam her dad before she goes inside. I don't want my ex-father anywhere near me, no matter where I am, says about him threatening to visit her in jail.
I was going to say, what, is she afraid he's going to go into jail?
Well, he said he wants to visit his daughter while she's in jail. He is crazy and scares me, she tweeted.
Yeah.
I don't want Michael Lohan Sr. anywhere near me, no matter where I am. I am in a great place, and he only brings negativity into my world. Yep. You're right. You are in a great place.
She's in a great place.
Yeah. How much worse could he make it?
Why does she have to do this on Twitter? Why can't she just ignore the old man?
Because
certain
people doesn't exist unless it happens in front of people.
That's right.
If you're Twittering, you.
Thank you, Lewis Black. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for Sharktopus we've got up on the Kevin and Bean website.
Yeah! Oh, yeah.
But I had a chance to speak with Sharktopus director Declan O'Brien over the weekend, and he happily informed me that the Sharktopus video trailer was the second most sought-out video clip on the internet last week. How about that?
That's huge.
It's impressive.
How about Sharktopus? Cue music now.
There's a creep show creature with a double feature. It freak ass feeds, won't splash you east. They're twisted fish, it suffers as a side dish. When you see that frenzy feeding, you will be the next bleeding. Sharktopus won't be kept at bay. And you can never, ever, ever get away. Come on over, don't you? Screaming child, grown up. Get your baby without a doubt. Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Ralph, I know you're loath to have me ask questions about Sharktopus, but...
Yes, so don't.
Do you have any scenes with Eric Roberts in the
movie?
Sweet
Jesus in heaven. Can't you just watch the movie?
I cannot, because the movie is not available to be watched yet.
But it will be soon. And when it is, you can watch it.
I want to know if you are on screen with Eric Roberts.
You'll see. When you watch it.
When you watch it, you'll see everything that Sharktopus has to offer. They're not going to hold anything back from you.
You can wait.
Do you mind if I play a clip from the trailer? I've seen very little of it, of course. I've only seen what's been available online so far. But here's Eric Roberts from the trailer, and I think this sums up how great Sharktopus is going to be.
The Navy said they wanted a killing machine. That's exactly what I gave them. But greatness comes at a price. It always has.
Come on. How
greatness
awesome
does
is
come
that?
At a price.
That's true.
Friday, I went into the studio to do what they call ADR, which stands for additional dialogue recording.
Sometimes we don't know.
If the sound is honked up during your shoot, they'll have you come back in and re-record your dialogue, and you loop it into your own mouth. Or
if you screwed up your lines.
And I did my first chance at getting to see the actual footage from Sharktopus.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the director said, this is my vision for the character. He's sort of a sloppy, drunken, bloated, tired, burnout DJ. And I... Watching the footage certainly was able to achieve that goal for him. So, I look pretty rough in the movie.
They could have just put a camera in the Kevin and Bean studios, though.
They could have. Any one of us could have played that role. The Celebrity Rehab Cast has been announced. They're going to have to change the name of this show from Celebrity Rehab to Some People You May Have Heard of Once Rehab. Janice Dickinson, former model, TV personality. I guess she was on that Who Wants to Be America's Next Top Model with Tyra Banks.
But
right?
She's crazy, so that'll be entertaining.
Yeah, and she is confrontational, too, which is always fun. Jeremy London, actor from Party of Five. Leif Garrett, former teen idol from the 70s. Singer Keisha Cole's mother, Frankie.
Nope.
Will be in there. The Hills' Jason Waller. Socialite Jason Davis, better known as Gummy Bear. And former Tiger Woods mistress, Rachel Yucatel.
All right.
We'll be there as well. Maybe she can go right into sex rehab with Dr. Drew after that's over. Get all cleaned up. Rumor has it she's going to be on Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice in the fall as well. Rachel Yucatel.
She's lining them up.
If they have to open a whorehouse as one of the challenges on that show, I think she'll be right up her alley.
She'll be the team leader?
A lot of things have been up her alley.
Hey now!
Today's celebrity birthday is Brian May. Guitarist for Queen is 63 years old today. Actor Anthony Edwards from ER, many, many seasons on that show, is 48. WBC heavyweight champion boxer Vitali Klitschko is 39 years old. Remember when we had him in on the Kevin and Bean show?
I believe I was here that day.
He is a massive, massive dude.
He's
a big boy.
Yeah.
Worked him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to work the body.
Sure.
Because when you're dealing with a big tree, Kevin, you got to chop it down.
That's right.
Right there in the center. Got the axe. Then I got on my bike. Wore him down. And other boxing cliches.
What?
Drummer Jason McGuire of Death Cab for Cutie's 36 and actor Jared Padalecki celebrates his 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Argar?
As we do every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Inception, number one.
What happened in that, Ralph?
Well, okay.
What does that mean?
First, Ken Watanabe plays a CEO. Oh, never mind.
Catch me up.
$60 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. Despicable Me was number two. With a little over $32 million, then Sorcerer's Apprentice, Twilight Saga, Eclipse, Toy Story 3 was number 5, Grown Ups was 6, The Last Airbender, $75 million, made it number 7. Seriously, with M. Night Shyamalan.
You said $75 million.
I'm sorry, $7.5
million. Yeah, I was going to say.
If Grown Ups is beating you,
right,
M. Night, lay down. It's all over.
The stop?
Yeah.
Is it possible? I hear The Airbender is almost unwatchable. I hear it's horrible.
Yes.
Is it possible that we'll make money, though?
Maybe on
because
video
that's all that really matters. No matter how bad it is, if it turns a profit, they'll keep letting
it
make movies.
But it was a super expensive movie to make.
Right.
And, you know.
So maybe it won't.
It's not doing so well. I guess it'll recoup its cost on DVD, but that might take some time. It certainly is not going to be a big profit maker. Although I just saw the trailer for his newest movie.
I think it's called...
Satan or Devil or something, and it's about a bunch of people get caught in an elevator with Satan.
All right. Now that could be done well
if it was a comedy.
Yes,
but it's not.
All right,
it's supposed to be a horror movie.
That sounds like a very.
Oh, the lights went out. What's going on now? Hey, lights are back on. One of you is Satan. Which one are you? Which one of you is it? Now we'll have to wait and find out. Until we get rescued out of this elevator.
Lights go out again.
Yeah.
That sounds like a very funny 45 seconds on Robot Chicken, but that's about it.
Yeah. Predators, number 8. Night and Day was 9. And then The Karate Kid rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Enrique Iglesias is got no fans with the Miami Police Department. Apparently, they caught wind of his bet where he would strip down and water ski naked if Spain won the World Cup.
Right.
Well... Law enforcement in Miami Beach says public nudity is a big issue. And they are going to enforce all laws. If he attempts to make good on that bet, he will be incarcerated.
On South Beach, isn't there a topless beach? They just go topless. One or the other.
But that would be irrelevant to this conversation where he's talking about being naked.
Yeah, I'm not aware of the topless beach. But I do know the police said if he goes naked... He will be arrested.
All right.
If they can catch him while he's naked on water skis.
They said, however, that his mole would go free if they caught him. They would release his mole on OR.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he were on Celebrity Mole and he were the mole? Wouldn't that just be the coolest?
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
Because everybody would suspect him because he's got a mole, and then he would turn out to actually be the mole. It would be like a double cross.
Celebrity Mole hasn't been on the air, I think, since
6 years?
Bush's first term.
Come on.
And Bean is reaching back for that show.
Kill yourself.
Couldn't be more thrilled.
just kill yourself.
How awesome that would be. That's
kill
all.
Yourself. No one alive remembers that show.
Wow. Mel Gibson's leaving the country.
What?
That's what London's Daily Mail tabloid says. Apparently, he is so serious about trying to avoid all the scandal that he's currently going through that he's sold his home in Greenwich, Connecticut, and has put his Malibu home up for bid.
Okay. Mm. He's got to be a huge star in Australia also. Is it just better for him because the media is not so omnipresent?
I think.
But isn't he trying to avoid charges?
Oh, that's
legal
true. Well,
charges?
Yes, those charges have been brought against him, so I guess he could still leave the country legally, and it wouldn't be like fleeing or anything. He might have to come back. I don't know what the extradition laws are in Australia, but... Plus, in Australia, they're in favor, like beating women. It's all good down there.
Yeah. Don't high five them.
Crikey, good on you, Mel. Show the back of your hand.
They're very 19th century down there, aren't they?
Hit it with a big can of Foster's. It's Australian for beer, mate. That's what they say. Oh, I'm sorry. Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
Is apparently going to be acting again. She dallies with that from time to time when she's not making music. She had a role in Moulin Rouge, the film, and she did some work on Doctor Who recently that was very well received. Now, apparently, she will be starring as a lesbian in a film called Jack and Diane, where apparently she has some hot same-sex scenes with another lady in this film.
She is very attractive.
She certainly is.
The salute to tuna!
apparently, she's like 42 years old.
She is?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And a cancer survivor, age. And she looks amazing, yeah.
Oh, you guys Team Jake or Team Vienna? I got to go with Team Jake.
I am Team FU.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Jake and Vienna. Hello, Jake the Bachelor. Oh. He picked Vienna, and then he went on Dancing with the Stars, and they had a big upset. And then they split up very publicly. I saw the interview with Chris Harrison. They were at each other's throats.
I just don't care at all.
You may remember from that interview that Vienna claimed that Jake was a fame whore. And that all she wanted was a simple life. She wanted to go back to Florida and be a small-town girl and just live with the man she loved. But no, Jake kept wanting to pursue fame and be on television, and that's why the relationship fell apart.
I've got to be honest with you. I don't care.
Well, Vienna was seen this weekend in a Los Angeles karaoke bar wearing a Team Vienna t-shirt. Standing on the table singing, "Hit the Road, Jack." And she changed the lyrics to "Hit the Road, Jake."
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Wow.
I'm glad to see she's going back to that small-town girl life she always wanted.
Wow. You're still watching The Bachelorette, though, right, Ralph?
Tonight, brand-new episode. Very excited. Oh, I hope Allie picks Bill or Frank or someone.
It's top-notch gay.
No,
I was involved in a conversation with my wife and our niece over the weekend, and they could not stop talking about The Bachelorette. And apparently the one that they're rooting for is the one that took Allie out on a date, and they bought matching sweaters. That's the guy they want to see her with.
I
thought, how is this a real thing?
I really just sort of have a superficial understanding of what's going on there because I watch it.
You can admit
in
it, right?
Passing. No, I really don't. I don't have the ins and outs.
But I'm saying
I know
it's
the basic players, but I don't really know it that well. I know there's Roberto, a good-looking, swarthy former baseball player. He's still in the running, and then there's two other guys. I'm not really.
Oh sure. My God, you're such a girl.
I was busted last week when I mentioned something. And I said that Frank or somebody had been ousted, and I got an angry email from a girl saying, "You don't even really watch because it wasn't Frank. He took him out to meet his friends, and he's gonna." I was like, "Okay, I'm sorry."
It's funny what people choose to get so upset about.
I know. Well, like Bean said, the women are very, very invested in this show, particularly this season.
They do talk about it as if it's the presidential election. It's the most important thing going on right now.
I have to say, though, watching Pavelka clown her when they put them on the couch next to each other, still like some of the best TV I've ever seen.
That was pretty awesome. That interview was pretty hysterical. And she burst into tears and stormed off the set.
You're
and
the meanest person ever!
He screamed at her. And Chris Harris was like, "What the hell's going on?" She's like, "What about my dog?" He's like, "We don't care about your dog."
There it is. There
that was my favorite line from
again.
The interview.
Interrupting again. There it is.
See? This way. She undermines me at every turn. He's just screaming at the top of his lungs. It's funny to watch people fight. Today's celebrity birthdays, guitarist Brian May of Queen is 63 years old today. One of the greatest rock guitarists of all time.
Yes, sure.
Am I right?
Yes. Sure.
You am I right, people?
Sure.
All right. Anthony Edwards is 48 years old today. Remember, he was Goose. He was Goose in Top Gun.
There's two O's in Goose, ladies.
I cried when Goose died. Is that a spoiler alert?
Everyone told everyone.
Oh, is it too late now?
Everyone cried when Goose died.
Everyone died when Goose died.
Come on.
Meg Ryan was left all alone.
He was so lovable.
I didn't cry.
Yeah, we all cried, Kevin. You cried when King Kong fell off the building. But you didn't cry when Goose hit his canopy when he ejected out of that plane?
Meg Ryan was in Top Gun? I didn't even know that. That's how long it's been since
I've
seen that
movie. She was his wife.
Yeah.
Wow. That was one of her first roles.
Wow.
Take me to bed now. Lose me forever. Was her famous line. Let's reenact Top Gun. Let's do Kevin and Bean players reenact Top Gun.
Can I be Iceman?
You
I
can
be
Iceman.
Lesbian.
You can be the lesbian. She wasn't lesbian then, though.
I know. But I'll play it all different
volleyball
now.
Volleyball scene, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's all Mike wants is the volleyball scene. I want to be Maverick. What a great code name that is. What would your code name be, Kevin?
Mumbles.
I thought Roland's MumbleCon line was pretty funny. He had me laughing in the other room. It was pretty funny.
It's great.
Jason McCare of Def Cab for Cutie is 36. Mumbles, do you read me? Yeah, we're going in for a run. I'm going to swim this plane. I'm going to burn the barren. What's that, Mumbles? We can't make out what you're saying there on the radio. Over.
How dare you.
Jared Padalecki is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up his beat.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Leonardo DiCaprio.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. Tomorrow, we're finally going to get to the topic of the most painful thing that has ever happened to you.
Ouch.
I'm going through it right now.
Ralph.
this hour of this show?
This program.
It's been pretty bad, right? San Diego Chargers quarterback, Philip Rivers, in our studio.
How about that?
How about that? An actual NFL player.
He's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
He's really great, yeah.
We'll talk to Mary Lynn Ricecup about her new one-woman play.
Yeah, sure we will. Whatever you say, Sporto.
The Taliban training monkeys. We thought we would get to that today. We don't have time. Lindsay Lohan goes into jail tomorrow. We'll tell you about that. And thanks for the tweet, Bean. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Incubus, also the Violent Femmes, Amberlin, new one from STP, Sublime, and more. Straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.